This is PFW in progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine your idea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Oh, boy. This is it, baby. Down to the final week. Just like we thought this season would come down to, right? Right? Didn't we say that this is going to be an interesting, an intriguing season?
Since a lot of us said they were going to be 10-6 in that area, you knew it was going to come down
right,
at the end.
Right. So this is unbelievable. Although I just...
You thought it was going to be over because you had them at what, 14-2?
No, I had them at 11-5. I had them 12-4 with Brady, 11-5 without.
Actually, I think it was, what was it, Paul? It was 12 and
whatever.
Three.
12 wins.
He had a 15
game.
I had 12 wins game. Or 11 wins. Anyway, this is it, but it just makes my skin crawl that I have to root for the Jets. That's going to be tough. We have the game, and then we have to get on the plane. So hopefully they'll have the TVs.
But we won't be able to watch because we don't even when we get the TVs we don't get.
No, they figured it out by changing the channel so that all of them point to the game. They figured it out last time. Remember, no matter what channel you pointed to, eventually.
Yes, but NBC is one of the channels we get. We don't get Fox and we don't get CBS and those are the NFL.
They don't have those?
Yeah.
Oh, that stinks.
So you'll have to follow like ESPN2 scroll or something.
Well, maybe they can figure it out.
ESPN News.
Maybe they can figure it out. I got my iPhone. Maybe that'll work up there.
Doesn't work at ground level, sea level. It's going to work at 30,000 feet.
At training
50
camp.
Million people are wrong. Andy's right.
Absolutely. No. That's the beauty of Andy.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com and 508-543-7482. It's Tuesday here. The team is going out. I noticed that they're going to be practicing in the bowl today.
Yes. Noon practice, I believe. So Eric is out there as we speak.
Yep. And it is cold. It's cold here in Foxborough.
It's not frigid, though. It's
supposed
like 30.
It's a lot warmer than yesterday.
Yeah, well, yesterday was like 16 degrees.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I was out for a long time yesterday cleaning up from Sunday stuff, and it was brutal.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to get pretty warm, I think.
But messy, too.
Well, it's supposed to rain, maybe.
Yeah,
Wednesday.
Rain.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be like in the 50s, maybe. Yeah. So
that'll be a mess.
We'll get rid of a lot of the snow.
Because you've got about a foot of snow here in Foxborough.
And we'll have a foot of water.
Yeah. I had closer to 2 feet.
All right, so we've got the game to talk about that happened on Sunday, the game to talk about that's going to happen on Sunday, as well as, you know, the Jets' performance on Sunday in Miami, and all this stuff is going on.
Christmas gifts.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so you know what I think needs to take a back seat? That Arizona game, because they didn't show up, so why should we show up to talk about it?
Well, that's true. I mean, that was just I
can't see your thing last night, you know, that – come on. That was their Chris Berman's or number one or whatever.
Come
the Arizona
on, man.
Cardinals. Come on,
man. You know what the funny part about that was? He goes on a tirade about, you know, that was ridiculous. Come on. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, it's inexplicable that a team can just, you know, mail it in the way they did. But, you know, hey, that's fine.
Take it.
You see the opening coin toss of the Monday night game last night? I mean, of the opening coin toss of overtime, I should say.
No.
Hit Brian Urlacher in the head.
Is that a legal talk?
I think so.
All right. Well, before we get into all that talk, I do want to say hello and I think he's out there in the green room. Chris from Seattle? No, he's not there?
They're up in the press box.
Okay, Doctor's manning the board today. Chris from Seattle stopped by. He's all the
we
way
in the green room.
So well, I'm just making, giving. I'm painting a picture for
in the
mind.
Guest waiting area.
It's a real show
with the Lombardi Trophy.
That's so, why he makes the phone calls. So wait 20 minutes.
Kyle is taking Chris from Seattle around, and when he comes down,
sorry,
he'll stop in briefly and say hello, talk about
no shots at Kyle this week. Hi-ho.
Why? What happened?
Just hooking us up.
Okay.
Giving us some added editorial.
Okay.
Oh, is he?
So no shots at Kyle.
Oh, good. Chris with a TIAN is on the phone right now. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas.
How you doing?
You too.
Christian. Thank you. What's going on?
We're enjoying that blowout.
Yeah.
Oh, who isn't? That was great. Run, pass.
Ken Wisenhunt probably isn't.
Yeah, Ken Wisenhunt, Kurt Warner. I could come up with a few people that didn't enjoy it so much, but...
What was the deal with the game plan? Why did they come out running like they did? They don't run.
Fred, Ken Wisenhunt said that he wanted to work on the running game.
That's BS, Fred.
To which I say,
you
had 15 weeks to do that.
Say the word.
The tank fart. Yeah.
They pussied out.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what.
I can't believe we have to cheer for the Jets.
Well, we have to, so.
Yeah, I know. Well, we got to buck up and do it.
And really, you know, we should also be cheering for Baltimore to lose, but
yeah.
That's not the way I want to get in.
No,
I don't
want to
be the sixth seed. I want to be... AFC, our rightful place on top of the AFC East.
Well, I don't want to be the sixth seed either, but only because I don't want to travel. That's purely selfish reasons. From a fan perspective, I don't care if it's one.
Plus, if you're the sixth seed, I think you might go to the next round.
I think you have a better chance of winning.
Because if you play the Ravens, I think.
Well, let's say.
I think you win in Miami.
I mean, if the Patriots become the third seed, I mean,
they would play Baltimore.
Well, no, but if they get past that round.
Then they would play Pittsburgh.
No, wouldn't they play Tennessee?
No.
Who's the number one seed? Oh,
Tennessee.
Four plays one.
Yeah.
So we would play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's a tough road to go through Baltimore and Pittsburgh in consecutive weeks.
You'd probably have to beat Baltimore, then win at Pittsburgh and at Tennessee to go to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that would be tough.
It'd be tough.
First things first, you got to get there, and you need the Jets to win. I think that's the best way to do it because I agree with you guys. I don't think Baltimore loses at home to Jacksonville.
I just can't see it. I can't with that defense, I can't see it.
You know? Jacksonville played the hot tail last week at home against Indy. This week, it's like they really have nothing to play for on the road.
Plus, they don't have a lot of talent left either. I mean, even if they could rally it, they'd be rallying secondhand troops.
I really can't believe how bad the Jets have gone into a tailspin either.
That's what I think is funny. You have to root for a Jets team, and it's not like you're rooting for a team that you know is going to win and they're going to do what you need.
Right.
You're rooting for a team that could lay an egg, and then you're going to be even extra
mad. What, have they lost four of the last five or something like that?
If they lose this game. It's
four
of the last five if they lose this game. And I think Mangini's job is hanging by a thread.
You think
absolutely.
He's done?
I
think it should be.
First of all, I think he coached an absolutely miserable game on Sunday. I thought it's rare to have that many coaching decisions, you know, go for it on fourth down, not go for it, field goal, whatever. It's rare to have that many decisions where I thought it was pretty black and white that he made the wrong choice three times.
And he's not known for a bad game day coach.
No, I would think that he's right out of the Belichick mold there.
Right,
he's
very pretty
prepared.
Good. So do you think he's distracted? Do you think that they've already told him you're done? Or?
I think it's panic.
You think so?
I think there was panic. I think he choked. I think that's why he went for it on fourth and two from his own 20. That was just mindless.
It's just been a bad day, too.
With 3 minutes left in the game and all three of your timeouts, I mean, it was a 10-3 game. The game wasn't over.
Right.
I thought the decision to not kick the field goal after the delay of game took the 3 points off the board. Feely drilled that one up the net from 45 yards out. There's no reason to believe he can't get it there from 50.
Yeah.
How do you have a delay of
game and a field goal? That was
indecision.
Awful.
I mean, you got to think there was indecision as to whether or not they wanted to go for the 45-yarder. I thought that was very strange.
He definitely should have.
I know him.
So you got to have faith in them that they're going to do the right thing this weekend, hopefully. And I mean, it's good that it got moved to 4:00 with Baltimore, so at least they'll be, you know, theoretically they'll still be playing for something. For Baltimore.
I mean, I wanted to address that too, Fred. Fred and I talked about this, Andy, when you were buying more property or something.
you bought some more property.
Let Paul talk.
He bought a new car.
Oh, you got the truck.
I did. We can focus on that later.
Just let Paul talk. There's no reason whatsoever, playoffs or no playoffs, the Jets aren't going to – they might lose. They might lay an egg Sunday. It's not going to be because they dumped so the Patriots could could miss out on the playoffs. I don't care if the game started at 8 and they were already eliminated. Eric Mangini's job, I'll say it again, is hanging by a thread. And that's got to be first and foremost on his mind. Now,
well, but if, Mike, if Baltimore was playing at 1 and was already done,
I
could see Mike Tannenbaum. I could see Mike Tannenbaum telling Mangini to tank it.
Yeah. Lose so we can fire you tomorrow.
Lose so we don't have a job. Tannenbaum's going to be in Kansas City.
Well, he should be fired, too.
He probably is going to be.
They all should be in jail.
Yeah. Is that where bad Jets stuff go?
That's where Jets gone bad. Kansas City.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any chance that they lay down on
purpose.
They may play a terrible game.
Right.
I mean, they've played
Favre won't throw three interceptions.
They just played a month's worth of terrible games. They lost at San Francisco, Seattle. They got throttled at home by Denver, and they should have lost at home to Buffalo.
0-4 in the West Coast, right?
Yep. So they just played four terrible games in a row.
Mentally weak team.
Right. So if they lose on Sunday, don't tell me it's because they dumped so the Patriots can get out of the, you know, miss the playoffs.
No, even if he wins, I think his job's in jeopardy.
Yeah. It could be.
Well, if he wins and doesn't get in the playoffs, I think his job is in jeopardy. If he wins and gets in the playoffs, I don't see how you can fire him.
No, that'll be a saving grace. Yeah, absolutely. That's the only way he's got to.
Because they do still have a shot, you know, the same remote Baltimore loss there.
Yeah.
You know, and if the Patriots, let's face it, the Patriots could lose, too. I mean, we're dismissing that as a possibility. The Jets win the division with a win and a Patriots loss. Just like the Patriots win the division with a win and a Dolphins loss. Same thing.
Right, right.
Well, Fred, as you said, here we go. So this is it.
All right, Christian.
So have a Merry Christmas to everybody over there, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
You too. You too.
Thanks,
all right.
Christian. You
Christian.
Too.
So as promised, Chris from Seattle is the stop by. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Wow, I feel like I'm at the Allen Thistle in Seattle all over again, you guys, huh?
Minus the beer, though.
Minus the beer and the Gloucester guys.
We could use that. Yeah. What was that? Is that the guy that was going, hada, hada? Oh, my God.
Yeah, geez.
Hey,
Lottie, Please, Keith from Gloucester.
He just wouldn't stop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I told you, they're all the same.
No, he started drinking on the flight over and never stopped, apparently.
Oh, absolutely not.
Can you imagine
I was surprised he was at the game the next day.
Can you imagine? You were with him at the game?
No, I saw him. He was at the party, the big
I can't
party.
Imagine what his voice sounded like the next day. Because he must have sang that song for a solid hour.
Yeah.
As loud as and gravelly as he could.
Right. Every time a girl came in the room, you know, and they were alive. So, yeah, he just...
Unbelievable.
Not surprisingly, PFW in Progress attracted quite a few females.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were all, like, hovering around you guys. Over, yeah. Really, they were.
Yeah, they came in on all fours.
Frederick!
But, Chris, I want to congratulate you because
job well
for
done.
The job you did out in Seattle. You know, our owner, Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
And,
very impressed.
He said he was floored. When he walked out there and saw all those people, he couldn't believe it.
He looked floored.
Yeah.
Jonathan has jaw dropping.
Yeah, no. So they were just, you know, because I guess it was touch and go. You know, we told Robert, said, you know, they're going to have this group gathering on Sunday. And you know, they don't know what they're going to do 10 minutes before they do it because it's all, you know, depending on what the last phone call said. So they didn't know whether they're going to go right up to the minute. And then they finally decided they were going to show up. And so they had no idea what to expect, and they went, and they were just, you know, like I said, just floored.
Well, that was great, and you had mentioned to me when I called in a few days later, he likes to do that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I don't
he
know
does.
Too many owners that do that. That's
no,
amazing.
He loves to connect with the fans, you know, because he's really appreciative.
He considers himself one.
Yeah. Well,
that's how he, you know, he was a season ticket holder, and that's how he still thinks
so
of
whenever he sees people, like, showing their appreciation, it makes him feel really, really good. And so... He came back and I got in trouble.
You mentioned, yeah.
Because, I get the call.
Fred's just getting out of the doghouse now.
The call. We're on the way. So I call our video guys. They go, can you get over there? And, you know, they're like, oh, it's like six blocks away and we don't have transportation. Well, you know, how far away is Mr. Kraft? They said they'll be there in minutes. It's like, oh, we're never going to make it. You know?
Yeah, because I got a text from Brian. He's like, I can't explain, but we just can't make it over there. So, and I wasn't sure if that was the same crew you guys were to deal with.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
so, unfortunately, but you know, we got some video.
Oh,
from,
yeah.
We
got the amateur crew all like 100 people all flashing, and then my little camera.
Right. The paparazzi.
Believe me, we used it.
So, we got that in PFW, and we got an email out yesterday to all the other fan clubs. We had that in there, and we had it on the website. So, that's great. So I just wanted to congratulate you on getting that together and all the work you do. I think we're onto something here.
I think
cottage industry.
I really do. I think this whole uniting of Patriots Nation is really starting to take hold.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you see that with the Red Sox, and I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, I don't know what the percentages are, but, you know, there's probably about 70-80% overlap. I mean, and I know from gatherings in Boston, I mean, in Seattle, you know, we have just as big a crowd that goes every Sunday to watch a Patriots game, you know, at the bar that we hang out at.
Right.
And so, and it's grown. And I've been there for almost 12 years. It started out, you know, just five or six of us who just bumped into each other at a little sports bar. Oh, you know, and where are you from? Oh, Leominster. I'm from Lowell. You know, whatever. And we have this friendship bond thing over the Patriots. And that just grew and grew. And I'd see Packers fans and, you know, Steelers fans very aligned and kind of organized. But compared to us now, but to me at the time, I was very jealous. Wow,
right.
We had 25 guys. What? Come on. I know there's like 25 of us around here. But it grew. And I had this vision of just kind of growing this little fan group. It's gone beyond, above and beyond what I thought. I mean, we have 250 people signed up on our Yahoo list. On top of, well, and that was just all the, you know, perfect storm, like all these people from California, the drunk guys from Gloucester, everybody, you know,
right.
All coming together.
Right.
And then word of mouth, I think I probably could add a couple hundred more people there, you know, if a little more time. I mean, I secured that. Originally, the idea was, and I'm so glad we didn't do this, and I'm sure Mr. Kraft wouldn't have shown up, was they really wanted to do some, you know, friends of mine wanted to do a traditional tailgate. But tailgating in Seattle is very difficult. There's no one big, huge lot. They're all sort of segmented. Some of them are private, and they don't want anybody having any grills or beer or anything around. Technically, it's illegal to have open flame and beer out, although the police department there kind of looks the other way. But technically, they could, you know, somebody
right.
could make a stink, and
especially
they shut you down.
Especially if you're Patriots fans.
And especially if you're Patriots. Exactly. I sometimes say they're going to see a bunch of Patriots fans. What are they going to be like? So I didn't even want that headache. And I'm like, look, I know some people might be disappointed they're not going to be out in the cold and by the way they do it in Foxborough. But I'm like, look, I've got these connections. We've got a great venue. It's a little short walk to the stadium. This will be great. And we had a little stage and a microphone.
Yeah,
I mean,
I had it all set up.
I did that for a raffle and to rile everybody up. Little did I know we'd have a guest speaker. But, you know,
right.
it all
now,
gets
did,
aligned.
Did you know, you know, I know some of the proceeds went to Dana-Farber. Did you
yeah,
know
the
that
Jimmy Funder. Yeah.
Did you know that's near and dear to the Kraft's heart? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
We just, you know, through the Jimmy Fund and they gave us all these banners. And
yeah.
my buddy Ken actually got those banners, and I was like, yeah, put it up just to feel like we're in Boston. You know, I had Boston music playing. I had, like, Aerosmith and Pixies and all these bands, you know, playing to keep
right.
it in the mood. And, I know when Jonathan really, you could see that in the video, he really zeroed in on that, and I was like, oh, wow, I was psyched that I didn't know that they
yeah,
were
they,
close with it.
They
great.
Actually built a wing, a Kraft blood donor center.
Oh, geez.
So,
okay, so.
Yeah, so.
To say the least.
Yeah,
then.
It's a big deal. So, you know, they were like, wow, you know. So that was great. Now, you mentioned the Red Sox, you know, how they've always had this kind of
nation.
Well,
they've been doing this marketing
yeah.
thing. It's been brilliant. It's
and
really
it is. But the thing about football, though, you know, because you have that weak buildup,
oh, yeah.
you know, these things can really – you can organize these things.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, baseball, it's three games and then they're yeah. out of town. And, you know, they happen so quickly.
And but there's so many games.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a gazillion games. Oh, they lost today. Well, they can win tomorrow.
Right.
You
well,
know, yeah.
But football's tailor-made for this type of thing,
I
think.
Agree.
You know, the schedule. So congratulations. I just wanted to have you on.
Thank you.
Any thoughts about going into this week, you know?
Well, I, you know, as much as it pains my mouth to say it, I feel the Jets are due for a win. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good game. I agree with all you guys. I mean, I think Mangini's a little in the hot seat. I don't know. Maybe he may stay. Who knows? But between all of that, the slide that they've had, I was actually in New York this past weekend. I was just visiting friends and took a train here. So I'm reading all the press from New York. And
yeah.
it was really scary.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're all over him.
And so this is going to be a home game. It's going to be a very loud crowd. Miami's going to come up into the cold. I know it's the whole Chad Pennington thing, and you know and the Dolphins have been hot, but I'm just trying to keep the faith. I agree with you guys. I so don't see the Jaguars winning that Ravens game. Maybe we'll have a nice surprise. I was not shocked that the Hawks beat the Jets since the last few weeks they've been playing tough. They played the Pats tough.
Yeah.
And so that one this week, you know, I'm just trying to keep the faith. It stinks that the team's in this situation, but you know, there you go.
Well, you could see the scenario for the Hawks. It was Holmgren's last game.
Yes.
And when a team really wants to play up, You see it on the defense because a lot of defense is just hustle and determination, and you could see it. I mean, they only gave up, what, 3 points?
Right.
You know, so – and they did it for Mike Holmgren last – you know, so you could see that happening. But Miami going to Kansas City, I didn't see Miami having, you know, a chance to lose that game, honestly.
But they did.
They almost did.
They almost did. Yeah. They were not dominant, and there have been a number of games that Miami's won where they just got out of there by the skin of their teeth. And so it's not a gimme for that. I think it's going to be one hell of a game. And kind of nice, though. Well, it has pluses and minuses, but I guess they move the game later.
Yeah.
So we'll be in front of the TV a lot tomorrow.
Patriots are going to have to take care of their business first, because if they don't win, then it doesn't matter.
Well, right, and that's not a gimme either. I mean, Bills played a good game against Denver, I guess. But, yeah. I mean, Pat should win it, and, you know, we'll take one thing at a time. But I'm wishing, you know, hoping the best for them. They're a great team. I mean, they've come through so much adversity. People talk about Belichick and, you know, how genius he is, and when we're 16-0. To me, this season showed me more of his skill of just overcoming all the things, all the injuries, you know, Matt and everything.
Right.
My jaw drops this year more as
Absolutely.
Much as Super Bowl years.
Absolutely. I agree. All right, Chris. Well, thanks for stopping
thanks, guys.
By.
Great seeing you guys.
Thanks for coming.
And, you know, have a good time while you're here.
We'll see you in 8 years in
Seattle. Merry Christmas, everybody.
All right. All right. On the phone right now, 508-543-7482 is Dan in Delaware. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, it was good to hear a little bit of an interview. I don't have to wait until the podcast. I want to talk to you about the Jets for a second. I kind of know what the playoff implications are for the Patriots, but for the Jets, what are they really? If the Patriots win, are they playing for a Baltimore loss?
Yes.
Okay. So they have something to play for.
Yeah, they can still get in.
If Baltimore loses and the Jets win, the Jets are in the playoffs.
Baltimore
Miami would be out. Patriots would be the AFC East champs.
Correct.
The Jets would be the wild card.
Now, if the Patriots lost this game, they would need, what would it be, Miami to win and...
If the Patriots lose,
they're out.
They're out, yeah. That's right, because the Miami or the Jets would come. No, if the Jets lost, we'd be up on them.
But Miami would be up on you.
Right, but then if Baltimore lost, as well as Miami winning, we could still get in if we lost.
We can't get in if we lose.
No, because we have a tie record with Baltimore, and
Baltimore beats us in a tiebreak.
All right, so we got to win.
Right,
got to win.
We have to win, and obviously it's the Jets have to win and the Jags have to win. One of those two.
All right.
Otherwise, you can't make the playoffs.
Oh, I hate. You know what? This really hurts to say this, okay? But I'm going to do it. Go Jets.
Yeah. Okay.
Even Freddie's doing it.
Yeah.
Freddie's doing it. Listen, if Freddie's doing it, anyone can do it. Fred has picked the Jets about 2 times in the 10 years that I've known him.
I can't stand. All right, you guys have a great show. I look forward to it.
All right, Dan. Dan from Delaware.
Happy holidays, Dan.
All right, Dan from Delaware. That was Chris from Seattle. Just before that, right now we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Like the Patriots? Like winning stuff? Join the VXP program from Verizon. The same company that always delivers the Patriots to you through RazorShop Fios, blazing fast internet, and in-depth mobile content is now delivering you to the Patriots. I'm talking about field passes, stadium tours, luxury boxes. Want to watch a game from the press box? How about the sideline? Don't like the sound of your own voice? Have a Patriots player leave your outgoing voicemail. That's the level of access I'm talking about here, folks, and it's all a part of the program. So how do you become a VXP? It's simple. Just text VXP Play to 51500 or go to v-xp.com for an entry form. For a chance to win, just answer some Pat's trivia. That's it. There's a new prize every day through December 28th. Text VXP Play to 51500 or register at v-xp.com. The VXP program from Verizon. Victory comes to those who play. No purchase necessary. Void in Florida. Promotion ends 12/28/08. Play daily from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. Must be 18. Official rules at v-xp.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from 2 delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So Stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
So, Sarah, how's your holiday shopping coming along? I don't know about you, but I haven't even started.
Holiday shopping? I took care of that last week. Went to Patriot Place in Foxborough.
I've heard of Patriot Place. There's a ton of stores, restaurants, a movie theater. But you got all of your shopping done at one place?
Yep. Took care of the kids list at Hollister and Life is Good. Greg's going to be psyched with the gear I got at Bass Pro, Circuit City, and the Patriots Pro Shop. Bought my mom some really great stuff at Christmas Tree Shop. And I had to treat myself at Victoria's Secret. Oh, and I stopped in for a facial and a massage at Green Tangerine Salon.
So shopping and relaxing? Now you're talking. It looks like my holiday shopping might just be at Patriot Place.
I told you, the holiday shopping for them and a little something for me.
Visit patriot-place.com for Santa's schedule, holiday hours, events, and more. Parking is free with convenient valet and shuttle service available daily. Donate a new or gently used coat to make a child's holiday warmer at any store. Proceeds benefit Cradles to Crayons. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
Yeah, I got the mic on. All right, we're back here. All right, so that was a good segment. We talked to Chris from Seattle. We talked to Dan from Delaware on the phone. We talked to Christian on the phone. So now it's time to keep talking.
Patriots Nation having a hard time embracing the Jets.
Well, I mean, this is...
I hate the Jets. I don't know, Fred.
This is a tough week. We're walking on eggshells. We don't know what's going to happen.
You know, it's interesting. You were talking about the... Chris was talking about the reading the papers, and they're all over him, and that it's at home. I think that's one of those things that could go...
Works against them.
Especially with Pennington. If the game goes the wrong way,
yep.
I think you'll see the crowd turn on the Jets.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If they don't have success
especially
early
with
in
Pennington,
that game, they're in trouble.
Right there in their face. The guy that, when healthy over the years, more often than not led them to the playoffs, like right opposite you to see. And
Fireman Ed could take his hose out.
And you saw it a little bit... Wow. You saw it a little bit with...
he could say, D-O-L...
All right.
Didn't you see it a little bit with
getting tired
Dallas?
Here.
Oh yeah,
in the Baltimore game, I thought the crowd negatively impacted the Cowboys.
And it would happen
game.
Here. I'm not saying like any fans are worse than
no.
Yeah, but I mean
Drew Bledsoe comes in here for the Bills, and it's a similar situation, and you know Brady throws three picks and is falling on his face.
Right.
The crowd would turn on
sure, because they're feeling bad about themselves, so they take it out on.
And
the,
they've had a couple beers, and three guys do it, and everybody starts following.
You brought up that Dallas game, Baltimore last game at Texas Stadium, at least home game, regular
last
season
game.
Oh, they can't have a.
I don't think so.
No, because they'll be the sixth seed. That's right. So anyway, from what I understand, the word is that Jerry Jones requested the Ravens for that game. Did you hear about this? When they were making the schedule?
No, I didn't hear about that.
That he requested the Ravens for that last game?
Why would you request the Ravens?
Well, why would you say
that? Like, I know they weren't a good team, but there's other teams that I would think you'd say. Well,
they had Cincinnati at home. That would have been the one I would have requested.
I guess you fear Palmer if you didn't know. What else did they have? Where's that schedule?
I don't know, but that's the word, and that the word got out
Tampa
to
Bay,
the Ravens before the game. That they were, you know, so this was.
Is that why all those quotes were so.
Yeah, we kind of.
We brought the dynamite and this was a mock funeral.
Right,
and,
right.
Okay, I was wondering because I know
so that got out there before the game.
Yes, it did.
No, was it verified? Or was it a Patriots, you know.
Jim Harbaugh, I mean, John Harbaugh put it out there?
No, I think I wrote.
Did Harbaugh put that out there?
Had mock news clippings made up?
I think I read it on Florio. I'm not sure.
Let's be honest. Ray Lewis is like Harrison. He's not doing any fact checking to make sure whatever Harbaugh hands him is true. He's just frothing at the mouth.
No, Ray Lewis may have come up with it.
But I think it's a disgrace that the Cowboys can still get into the playoffs. It's just a disgrace.
Why is it a disgrace?
Because they're a disgrace. A bunch of women on that team.
I agree with that, but it is what it is.
They're not happy
unless the numbers play out how they play out.
You know, Tony Romo's mad at Teal because he didn't come to his Christmas party. Unbelievable.
Is that true?
Yeah, that last week. That was Romo had a Christmas party. He's mad because T.O. didn't show up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Romo was mad, but T.O. didn't go to the Christmas party.
I'm not surprised.
You know, so it's, I don't know.
Jessica Simpson there?
On the phone is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Hey, Fred, I know you're enjoying it from there, but I can't tell you how much I wish you were here in Staten Island to enjoy the Schadenfreude with the Jet fans. It's amazing.
Tell us what's going on.
They're just beside themselves. They don't know what to do because they know the Patriots aren't losing to the Bills. They're just not. And they know that if they win, they put the Patriots in, and if they lose, the Dolphins get in.
Wow,
beautiful.
Tough position for them, huh?
Oh, my God, it's fantastic.
So are they calling for Mangini's head?
They're calling for Mangini's head. They hate Favre. Their quarterback situation is screwed up now. They have no plan. It's just amazing.
It just couldn't happen to a better team.
Absolutely.
A better organization.
For so long, I've been wanting Mangini to get fired, but now I kind of want him to stay because it's so bad. They're not going to turn it around.
That's true. But as far as I'm concerned, Mike Tannenbaum, dead. Brett Favre, dead. Eric Mangini, dead.
But you have to root for him this week. It stinks.
Yeah, you're in trouble if
after
they're dead.
The game.
Doesn't it stink?
After the game.
I hate the Jets. I think I might hate the Jets as much as you do.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. It's a weird feeling. I agree with all the fans that are voicing that same line of thinking. I don't know how to handle it.
Yeah,
I hate the Jets more than I hate the Yankees.
Well,
and I hate.
I'm not going to go that far, but I hate the Jets. The Jets aren't good enough to hate as much as the Yankees. They haven't been good enough.
Exactly. But on the other hand, the Yankees, I hate them, but they've kind of earned the hate.
Right.
You know, the Jets, I just hate because they're weaselly. You know,
get the button ready.
Yeah. No, but the Yankees always beat you. So it's like that rival that you just
never quite good enough to beat.
It's
on the field.
You know, until 2004.
These guys are rat finks who have never done anything since 1969.
Right.
And when they win a game, they're celebrating like it's Super Bowl 43. It's unbelievable. Damn it.
Yeah, after they beat the Patriots and the Titans, it was all about the Subway Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah.
They just don't know how to handle prosperity.
And neither
does the team.
Nope.
That's exactly the problem with them.
Starts at the top. Right, Fred? Starts at the top.
It does. It does start at the top. You know?
When I rode that elevator with Woody Johnson, I knew he was not leading well from the top.
I hate the Jets, man. I hate them. And I agree. Everything John just said, you know, they were 8-3, and you would have thought they were already 14-2 and locked up the number one seed the way they were talking.
Yeah. If you want to crown their ass, crown them. But they are who we thought they were.
And you know what the worst thing? This is why I think Mangini's in trouble. With no Brady and with the Patriots defense all beaten up, I think there's a very strong argument to be made that out of the three teams, the Jets have the best personnel.
I do too.
Right now, today.
Yeah, all the guys they got in the offseason.
They might have the best personnel. That's why I think Mangini's job is hanging from a thread.
Yeah.
And that's why it's easy to fire him. Because you go, well, we have the personnel.
What's the problem?
You. Coach.
Right.
And I agree with John also. Favre has done nothing but whine. They want, you know, open up the offense. Well, they open up the offense for you. What'd you do? You threw one touchdown and six picks in the last four games. You know? I mean, it's been a sinking ship.
Yep.
Hey, did Paul give the nod during his kid's Christmas pageant?
Oh. I think with the first
the opening kick, I looked at Andy. I said, did you see the way he just returned that kick? He was running as if, like, and Fred wrote it in the edit letter, like he had flip-flops on.
The really cheap ones with the plastic thing between your toes.
That was good, Fred, by the way. I like that. Did.
Okay.
You got the nod. You got the stamp of approval from me.
No,
we all looked at each other and said, this game is over.
Yeah, yeah. I think as soon as it started snowing, Paul gave the nod in Peabody. Yep.
I actually thought that, believe it or not, and I know how foolish this sounds now, 47-7 later, I thought Arizona was going to come to play. I didn't think that it was that bad out.
Of course, we all thought they'd come to play.
I thought after the way they played against...
No, we had questions.
No, Andy thought...
We questioned the weather.
Andy nailed it.
Yeah, but the weather was the biggest issue.
But did you think they laid down the way they laid down?
Yeah, I did, because I thought Kurt Warner is the face of that.
Yeah,
and
but Andy, the defense did too.
Well, the defense is what it
except
is.
Except for Carlos Dansby. He had a good game.
Now, I might not have thought that they were going to lay down in terms of run. I mean, the coaches laid down too.
That's my point, is I thought they would... I didn't think it was that bad that you couldn't throw the ball and
neither
run around.
Neither did Matt Cassel.
Okay? Right? Now, obviously the Cardinals, it wasn't even that. I disagree with Andy a little bit. I think that it was just a foolish decision. Wisenhunt dumped the game.
Right.
He said, basically he's saying, we can't win in the playoffs by just throwing the ball, so we got to figure out how to run. Well, you know what, Ken? Right.
Should've
it's too
done
late.
That 3 months ago.
It's too late. If you can't run the ball now, you're not going to be able to run the ball.
And I disagree with him. I think if their offense is clicking, they can win through the air.
And plus, don't forget, as bad as they are, and they look, they're going to be playing at home.
Right.
They're in their dome.
Right.
So just go out and play the game.
You know, and did you hear him say, well, you know, if we had converted that one first down instead of having the penalty, so you can't overcome one penalty? Right. I mean, that's
so you could have run the ball the next three plays and gotten stopped.
Right.
Because it was clear the Patriots were ready. I mean, they all talked about it. And Bill, I thought, had the quote perfectly, and Mike Wright said the same thing. We knew they could throw the ball. We wanted to make sure they didn't get any yards running it.
Yep.
You know? So they played right into their hands.
All right.
Just an embarrassing performance. Andy nailed it. Andy said that's exactly what was going to happen, is they wouldn't show up.
Andy predicted that Warner would be out of the game in the third quarter, and he was right. Yep.
Usually am. Add that to the bucket.
Well,
too.
You know,
I was
rarely.
I was really wrong on this one.
One of those rare times.
I really thought this was going to be a high-scoring, close game. It was only high-scoring on one side.
Right.
Do you think the Bolden thing played anything into it giving up?
I think it did. Yeah.
Would they not have given up?
Yeah,
I think
Bolden? The fact that he didn't play was part of giving up.
No, yeah.
he wouldn't have made the trip. If he wasn't close, he wouldn't have made the trip. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think the fact that he didn't play was part of giving up.
And with a shoulder injury, it's not like... I think Eric told us it was a groin before the game.
It was a shoulder.
No, I know. But
you know,
and we were saying, I wouldn't play. But it,
Pat,
good call,
Pat
Fred.
Groin.
But if it's a groin, I can say, okay, a slick field, you don't want him to But a shoulder is not really affected by the snow. You're not going to slip and, in all likelihood, re-injure the shoulder or make it worse. It's a shoulder. It's, you know, six feet from the floor.
All right, John.
See you, John.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
okay,
John
in L.A. You know, the other game or team I want to talk about, and if they happen to go to the Super Bowl, which I don't think is likely, but if they did, I would think it would go down as the biggest in-season turnaround in the history of the NFL, and that's the San Diego Chargers.
You are correct.
I mean, what were they, 4-8 at one time?
Yep.
And now they could be
4-8.
And they could be in the Super Bowl. They could be in the playoffs with a win over the Broncos, and then who knows what. I mean, because they certainly have the offense. I don't think their defense is
terrible.
But in theory, they still have the personnel.
Yeah.
Except for Merriman. But, I mean, it's not like they were decimated with injuries, and you're saying that's nothing like the Chargers we thought were going to start the season.
They're just not playing well.
They did have a good defense.
No, I know.
What happened to it? It's not Merriman. I mean, let's face it. It's not one
guy.
Well,
okay, but here's
Cottrell,
something.
They got rid of Ted Cottrell and bumped up Ron Rivera.
I don't want to throw anything out, but I'm just going to throw this out. It's speculation on my part. I don't have any facts or sources.
There's a shock.
But Merriman, we know, dabbled in the juice, right?
Okay.
Okay, so now the heat's on him.
That's fair. I mean, for once, he actually labels an accusation that's fair.
So now the heat's on him. Other guys who might have been doing it said, I can't do it anymore. Affects their play.
Stephen Cooper also got suspended for it. That's two guys.
So maybe they're not doing it anymore.
Two linebackers suspended.
Maybe that was part of their success.
I got to think it's deeper than that, but I don't know. Did you happen to see Sean Ellis throw snow?
He took a brick.
Big, like one of those big icebergs.
But you know what?
The stands.
Having seen it.
That's assault, brother.
I saw it.
Fine $10,000.
But you know what?
They better make sure NYPD's not knocking on the door.
I don't think
it should be more than that.
He really didn't. All he did was kind of, you know.
But you can't do that.
I know.
That's how you incite a riot when there's 7,000 people mad at you.
As much as I'd love to see all the Jets in jail, I didn't. I looked at him like.
Especially after this guy has got legal problems.
Dead, jail.
He just had a legal issue like two weeks ago.
I didn't think it was that big a deal.
I did. I thought it was despicable.
You can't do that, Fred. You can't.
I think the fans deserved it. Did you see the way they were pelting the Jets?
They may deserve it, but you can't do it.
I know, but he just kind of...
It does, no, just kind
just
of anything.
Just kind of put it in there. He didn't really throw it
but
at anyone.
But you can't.
I know.
You can incite a riot. You can hurt somebody. You can do anything.
I know.
It's just stupid.
I just didn't think it was that big a
They're
deal.
They're protected. They have security. They have people. There's no need to be...
That big a deal.
All right. But this San Diego Chargers, I mean, it's unbelievable. But the thing about them, and we've always thought this, even over the last 2 years, they love to believe their own hype. They are so cocky for no reason. And they've always been that way. And that's the sign, again, of a weak mental team.
And the coach.
They might have had that mentality before, but they were going 14-2. Now they have that mentality, and they're going 8-8.
They had never.
But more so, I think it's clear. Ted Cottrell stinks. He's stunk every stop he's been at
absolutely.
The last three, and he gets replaced mid-year, and they get a little better. I'm not saying that
they have been. Better.
How much better would they be if Ron Rivera had the chance to build
implement
the
defense, his own system,
do what he
yeah.
wanted to do, and not just change it up on the fly?
Yeah, they'll be. They'll
Ted
be
Cottrell
a team.
Stinks.
They'll be a team that will be worth reckoning with again next year. That's not a team to overlook because they had a bad year.
Okay, let's get to some emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. Brian from Tuscaloosa writes in. He says he's a first-time writer, and he's relying on Favre, as we all are. Absolutely love the show. The podcast get me through each and every work week without fail. Paul, you're the best.
Hey, nice.
The game was a thing of beauty in HD this weekend on my TV. Since moving from Florida, I've been relegated to watching the games on my computer since my apartment can't get a direct TV signal. Every now and then I am lucky enough to get a Charter, which sucks, broadcast of the game. My question is, isn't it ironic that yet again we're relying on Brett Favre to win a game to get us into the playoffs,
yeah, same
providing
as
that we should crush the Bills? It is ironic.
Same as 0-2.
Yep.
He pooped the bed then, and I think he's going to poop the bed again.
I think so. I mean, really what I'm hoping for is, you know, because I don't think Miami's going to make a lot of mistakes.
Well, I mean, certainly it would be out of character
right.
for them.
So I'm hoping for the Jets defense to just, you know, keep it close where now maybe the home field can be an advantage late in the game.
They need to get off to a good start because I do think it could get ugly there.
Yeah.
If they would have fought, you know, like Miami got a quick 10-0 lead in Kansas City the other day. Well, I think if that happened in the Meadowlands, it might be a slippery slope downhill.
Luckily, Leon Washington's unstoppable.
Because, you know,
team,
the Jets fans.
Leon Washington's had a pretty good year. That wasn't the worst suggestion he's made.
The Jets
so many
fans
other things
are
a draw out of the empty backfield would be that one.
The Jets fans are good fans when things are going good, but when they turn, they empty out of there and get nasty real quick.
They do get nasty.
Not all that far from New England.
From all fans, I think.
Well, Northeast, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know. So. Mike and Wilbraham, guys, I loved how Andy predicted exactly what would happen. Warner looked like Eric at a dance, shy, afraid, and in the corner crying. This guy has obviously been to one of the most elite prep schools in the country because he's seen Eric at in action.
But I did think it was amazing the way Warner – I mean, you'd think he'd never – that he grew up in Africa, and this was the first time he'd ever been cold, saw snow, thrown a ball.
Yeah. Because
even his throws were terrible. Paul, does he have small hands? That's a serious question, not joking.
Now you're getting personal.
No, but he wears gloves all the time.
But he probably does. Like, David Craig had a really, really small hand. He's a guy that I think Warner's going after his record, right?
For quarterback fumbles. Yes. And that's – I mean, it's funny to say, but it is a factor. Steve McNair is another guy who had a reputation as being a bad, bad weather quarterback because he had small hands.
Right.
Whereas Castle came out first time in the snow, warms up, and says, my grip is fine. So I'm guessing, and I kind of joked as he walked out of the locker room, he must have big hands because he didn't feel any effects from it.
Anyway, Mike continues, I am the kid who wanted Eric originally, but now I really want to take a piece out of that chump who thought he was good at picking games. The guy certainly was a douche canoe. Do you guys think that Brett Jets and his crappy team can do the Pats a huge favor by beating the Dolphins? Or do you think that Maurice Jones-Drew and the Jags can upend the Ravens? Personally, I think the man genius will get his head out of his ass and finally win a game that matters, giving the Pats a home playoff game against Miami. I can only hope so. Either way, the Pats need help. And if David Thomas had not gotten one of the dumbest penalties in the history of football, then we would have locked in as AFC champs right now. Merry Christmas to all except Eric, because I hate him. Wow. That's really tough.
Minor alteration, but you'd still need to win the game.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have locked up the division.
But that's all you'd have to do.
Right.
Right.
You wouldn't need help.
I really looked. I mean, you know, obviously 2020 is hindsight. In the butterfly effect, you don't know what happens after. But I look at that Colts game as the one that got away.
But not just for David Thomas. I mean, there were
No.
That's definitely the game that got away.
Yeah.
The indecision in the coaching. Yeah. I mean, there was a number of different.
And it would have reversed the Colts and the Patriots as seeding too, right? You know, because, you know, they would now, it would be the Colts with, you know, if everything else happened the same way.
Right. You never know. But, yeah, there was no question that was a huge game and one that they lost. Yep. I mean, you know, I'm not even sure the Colts took it from them. You gave them too many opportunities and gave it to the Colts.
Yeah. Now, I definitely think they should have won the Colts game. I think that if that gets played out the same way again, the Patriots win that game more often than not. But at the same time, I think they won a few that could have gone the other way.
That's true. That's true.
And we don't usually look at those.
Scott is calling in from Arizona. Scott, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. How you guys doing? Happy holidays.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to ask you guys, how come Wes Welker's not going to talk about possibly MVP this year?
You know, I don't know. I know he is, you know, obviously he's going to the Pro Bowl. You know, even as much of a Wes Welker fan that I am,
of the league?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't see that. I really can't see that.
Because I was listening to, I guess Colin Cowherd, you know, one morning, and he was talking to Peter King about that. How come Wes Welker's not, you know, being considered at all?
So I mean, seriously, for the league?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not even sure he's the Patriots MVP.
I'm pretty sure he's not. I'd give it to Matt Cassel.
I would, too.
Really? And what's the odds of us actually keeping Cassel? I mean, slim to none?
None.
Yeah, I think slim to none. And slim being they know something about Brady that we don't
right
now.
And there's a report out of Charlie Casserly who says that he's now off the antibiotics and he can begin full rehab and things are going great. So assuming that Andy's diagnosis of the ACL is correct, you know, because he's known all along the extent of the injury, you know, we should expect to see him in training camp. And if that's the case, then there's no reason for Matt Cassel to stay here. You know, there really isn't. You know, as much as I love him to, why would he?
Yeah, he's a great story this year, definitely.
He is a great story. And I would say, Fred, there's no reason right now for Cassel to be here anyway. He has no desire to be a temporary fill-in for Brady next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's built a foundation. Right now, it's Matt Cassel. I'm going to go be a starter somewhere. I'm sorry for you if you can't replace me for 4 weeks to start the season, but his whole thing right now should be Matt Cassel starting quarterback and fill in the team.
Yeah. The only way, if I'm Matt Cassel, I stay in New England, is if the Patriots come to me and say, look, we know for a fact that Tom Brady isn't going to be able to play. We need you to be our starting quarterback of the future.
Right. That's the only way.
And we're willing to pay you, you know, the market price for your talents, you know.
But not just that
Those
Brady can't play.
Those things have to happen.
Not that his career is over. That he's done.
No,
because if
he's
I'm Matt Cassel,
exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
I have no interest in playing another year and then having a controversy. Right. You need to tell me Tom Brady is retiring tomorrow. Otherwise, I'm out.
Right.
See ya.
Right.
Because a lot of people have suggested, why don't the Patriots say, try to get a regular contract for him and say, you know, you'll be the quarterback because Brady's not going to be ready. Well, that doesn't make any sense for Matt to do that.
It's a terrible situation.
He needs to get, A, to a place where he knows he's going to play, and then, B, worry about the money.
Right.
So it's not about how much money he makes on that contract necessarily. It's about the playing opportunity.
It must be so cool, though, to be a guy like Matt Cassel, to have gone through all he's gone through, 4 years of college, not being able to play, 4 years here, finally getting to play, and know, at a minimum, I'm going to get $14 million next year.
Right.
Cash.
You don't think that he's maybe, like, comfortable here, or, I mean.
No. He's an athlete. He's a competitor. He wants to play. He wants to have his team. He's shown he can do it. No, I think he wants to go out, and, you know, he's wasted 8 years. He can't afford to waste any more time.
Yeah, definitely a far cry from the preseason, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You mean when I wanted to cut him?
Yeah.
I wanted to cut him. He's going to get $60 million now.
Well, hey, I just want to, you know, let you guys go, but I just want to wish you guys all a happy holiday and, you know.
Right back at you.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
Take care.
Scott from Arizona. I'm sure he's. I should have asked him if he's part of the Arizona fan club. I'm sure he is.
I should have asked him if they get sandstorms out there, like Logan Mankins insinuated.
Well, I imagine in the desert they do. Yeah.
What is a sandstorm? Just windy sand being blown at you? Sand. Sand blasted? I bet you that would hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be worse than playing in snow. Imagine what Kurt Warner would do in a sandstorm. He'd bury himself in the sand, the big pansy.
Yeah. Let's see.
Isn't he a free agent, too?
Warner is, I think. Yeah.
So he's just got to re-sign there, huh? Otherwise, maybe Detroit. I mean, it's clear. Anybody who plays any games in any weather that's not 72 degrees and have a roof over it, he's useless to you.
Can we – I know we have a lot of playoff stuff and Jets-Miami talk, but any of you guys, when we left here the other night, watched the end of the Carolina-Giants game?
Yeah, I did.
That was one of the best regular season football games I've ever watched.
Yeah, that was a good game.
That was two good teams playing well against each other.
Yep.
And not a lot of mistakes being made. That was a good football
game. And, you know, the big players and each team made plays. Yeah. Stephen Smith made plays. Jacobs made plays. Manning played well. You know, it was
the only thing I would question, I thought that maybe Carolina could have done a better job on that last drive of regulation of trying to move the ball. They looked like they were content to just pound it in between the tackles and take the 50-yard field goal. And with that wind, that was... you know, maybe ill-advised, but that was a good game.
Yep.
Did you watch it at all?
I saw some of it, and then
how long did it take you to get home?
I don't know. I had to. I went kind of slow.
It took me like an hour and a half.
Because there were a lot of places. There was only the 3-lane highways were only two, and the 2-lane highway was only one. Like they hadn't cleared the whole highway yet, and it was pretty thick, packed down. I stayed away from anything like that because it looked like it could send me flying.
Well, I noticed that, and we're talking about after the game.
But I got stuck behind the plows. Well, that's what screwed me. Right when I got to the light here to go left, got behind like all the staggered plows, and there was like six of them. It took me 22 minutes to get to 495.
I noticed that Route 1 out here was in worse shape than the side roads as far as plowing because they just never got a chance to do it. So once I got on the side roads, I was okay. So anyway, Al writes in, Alfecto. He says, in more than 40 years following the Pats, regardless of the outcome, this has to be one of the most enjoyable seasons ever. I feel like we've been playing with the house money all year. We're looking at very possibly 11 wins, and that would be a tremendous accomplishment for this team. At the same time, it does suck that teams like Denver and San Diego in the AFC and Minnesota and Dallas over in the NFC, all currently with worse records than the New England, are also... all in the status of winning you're in next week while the Pats need help. At least, assuming a win at Buffalo, the 11-5 Pats will be in either-or situation. Either the Dolphins or the Ravens must lose. And thanks to NBC for not flexing that Jets-Miami game to Sunday night despite the always-tempting New York audience. Starting at 1, the Jets will be operating under the illusion that they still have a chance at postseason and may actually give the Dolphins a good game. If Jets-Dolphins game had been set for Sunday night following the Pats' victory earlier that day, then the Jets would have been eliminated and likely would have mailed it in.
But that is the case because it's 4 o'clock.
Well, yeah, but Ravens are playing, so they can't. There's a reason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it is at 4, not at 1.
It is at 4. You know, at first I was ticked the Bills blew that lead in New York a couple of games ago, but in hindsight, it was the best thing that could have happened. It kept the Jets alive into Week 17. And as bad as the Jets have been lately, it's not as if Miami has been blowing the doors off people either. They limped past the 49ers in Miami and gave up a bunch of points to Kansas City. Last point, even if the Pats don't make it this year, I would not want the NFL to expand the playoffs. The best arrangement is the one we now have. Over the long term, playoff competition would be watered down. You may even see a year with a below 500 team making the postseason. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think they should change the playoffs. You know, I know that there's been some talk about that recently, but I think it's okay.
Your guy is the guy who's brought the talk.
Yeah, well, I disagree. I think it's okay the way it is. I really do. So
apparently, he's feeling like that ice has thickened under him a little bit since that Seattle incident.
This isn't an issue where it would matter. Okay, all right.
Don't throw that at the barrel.
Colin is out of the UK, and he says, "Would you agree or disagree with the following statements?"
Agree.
Matt Cassel should be the Pats 08 MVP.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Except I think we gave it to Kevin Falk 2 weeks ago.
That was like the halfway point.
Two, the Titans are unstoppable.
I disagree.
Disagree.
Jamie Dukes is a knob.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Eric will be married by the end of 09.
Disagree.
Disagree.
Really? Even in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
I
don't think he can find a man that would put up with him, never mind a woman.
A PFW T-shirt looks good on everybody. Absolutely.
Disagree.
Oh, because you've seen me in one?
When you stretch with your arms above your head and just belly came out. It would look better. What did you get? You probably get a large.
No, that was an extra large.
Well, get a 2X and you'll be fine.
They do shrink a little bit.
Get a 2X and then I would agree with you.
Meanwhile, they are available on PFWinProgress.com. Obviously, you won't be getting it in time for Christmas, but, you know.
And they're good quality shirts. Yeah. They don't shrink when you wash them.
PFW in Progress should have an event in London for the UK listeners next October.
Yes.
Yes.
We will do everything in our power to do so.
And since Paul and I have no power, it's all up to Fred.
Finally,
I can make that guarantee.
No other team in NFL could lose players of the caliber of the following and still have a winning season. Brady, Samuel, Stallworth, Harrison, Thomas, Maroney, Gay, Bruschi, etc., etc.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Disagree.
Plus, you watered down some of the. You chose to lose some of them, and you had the entire offseason to replace them. Now, the Brady thing, I think, is pretty impressive. I don't care what they have.
It's unbelievable.
Dallas
impressive.
Did it for whatever it was, four games or three games with Brad Johnson.
Right?
The Colts, I would love to. I mean, Manning is carrying that team, so you take him out of it.
No matter what anyone says after the fact, before, I mean, everybody thought if without Brady, it's
10 and
over.
6. See, this is where I disagree. Everybody thought they were going to go 10 and 6 and still win the division.
No, that's after Brady
got hurt.
I'm talking about before Brady got hurt. The consensus was without Brady, this team's not a winning team.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me before he got hurt, everybody thought it was over, but after he got hurt, they all thought they were going to win the division.
No, you're missing my point. You're missing my point.
Andy's taking a break.
Forget about him getting hurt. The perception there was Brady makes this a winning team.
No, without, Brady makes it a Super Bowl contender. They're done without Brady was the perception in terms of Super Bowl.
Well,
that's the perception.
Even getting the playoffs, I think the perception.
I was the only one that didn't think they'd make the playoffs. I was the only one that was wrong here.
But
everybody else disagreed with me.
Well,
and that's why I wrote down all the names of all the people on week one that said that they were going to win the division.
Well,
all those guys in ESPN that all still said that they were going to make the division. I was the only one that was wrong.
I really think that when it comes to Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Carson Palmer, those quarterbacks, the thinking around not just fans but experts is if you take away those quarterbacks from those teams because of
injury. They're no longer a threat.
They're no longer a threat.
And I think that is still accurate.
The Patriots are a threat, though.
I don't think they are. To win the Super Bowl, I don't think they're a threat.
Okay. Ethan writes in.
But I think you're misunderstanding. I think almost everybody was universally in agreement that they were going to win the division.
Afterwards.
Without Brady.
Afterwards, right.
But what's the difference if it's before or after?
Because
it takes more guts to say it afterwards than before.
I know, but before.
Now it's actually happening.
But I think the general thinking among people, of all those teams with the great quarterbacks is, you take that quarterback away
and it's a different team.
And they're done.
Right. That's the perception.
But they're not.
It's a different team.
They're not. It's football is more than just
semantics,
one player.
But I think they are done. But that's. You know,
How can you say that, Paul?
I don't think they have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
But they're not done. They're
I think whether it's this week, next week, it's over.
We kind of just mapped out whole beat Baltimore, beat Pittsburgh, beat Tennessee.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm the only one who argued that a while ago, that the offense could do that three straight weeks.
And to Andy's point that I really agree with, if Brady is still playing right now, I don't think it's over. I think they're winning. I think they're winning it all with Brady right now, even with all the other guys that are hurt.
But there's a difference between they don't have a chance and, they've
and
got a
Castle
chance.
And Castle can't play any better than he's played.
You know,
But it's
not because of the offense that they don't have a chance.
Well, that's the problem with this season is it took a weird turn
right.
In that Castle was way better than you thought and the defense was way worse than you thought. So it's not like you – I think we all had a perception that the defense would be a little bit better. We had this theory that the front seven would cover up. Seymour was healthy. We had all these reasons were preseason promoting this defense as they can be better.
Yeah,
they sucked.
The only thing I would take exception to what you said, Fred, I agree with you, but I just think that most people didn't agree with me. I think most people felt when he got hurt, and now that's what really counts because now it's happening. Anybody could say, I think they would still go to the playoffs if Brady got hurt. When he didn't get hurt, no one ever is going to know. It takes more guts to say it after he got hurt. And everybody, I mean, I would say a good 80 to 90% of the people that I heard on ESPN, on NFL Network, said they're still good enough to win this division. If they can get adequate quarterback play and run the ball. And now, it didn't happen the way they said, because they all thought it would be defense and the running game and coaching. Well, the coaching was there. The running game has been spotty until now. Defense now it's dominant.
Well,
and, the defense hasn't really helped them win a game all year.
All right. Ethan writes in. Good afternoon and Merry Christmas and happy all those other holidays. Down to business. Fred, we need your help. I turn to you in this dark time.
He thinks that's
okay. Time out.
He thinks that's okay.
The little, you said he lifted it up and barely put it in the stands.
Right.
He tossed it.
And it was like an iceberg.
The size of his chest.
Well, he tossed it, but it was.
You're going to tell me that couldn't have hurt somebody?
No, it couldn't have.
So if your wife was sitting in that first seat, you're okay that he threw it and hit her in the head?
I'd be pissed then.
Thank you.
I give you credit for
no further
that.
Questions.
I give Fred credit.
Because that was big enough and was obviously hard enough because don't tape that part.
Easy, Eric.
I mean, it was held together as a chunk, so it was ice-like. It wasn't just snow.
He didn't, like, sneak up anybody. He just kind of walked over and lofted it in there.
Yeah, but by lofting it, it looked like it weighed 20 pounds.
I know, but you could just step aside and it wouldn't hit you.
I know, but if I toss this can at you, it would hurt.
Yeah, but that's not what he did. He didn't toss a can at me.
No, he tossed a bigger, heavier, sharper thing.
He had it in his arms. He kind of lifted it into there.
Oh, he went like this with it.
He tossed it.
Yeah.
He tossed it.
Okay.
And it blew up on somebody's head.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
Oh, have you not seen the highlight yet?
It landed right on somebody.
That guy must have been drunk then.
It landed right on somebody.
It was the guy's fault now?
Yes.
Because somebody threw a huge piece of ice at him?
Like that guy that tackled Seau.
If you want to say that the guy deserved it.
With a snowball on Sunday.
What's that?
I got hit in the back of the head with a snowball on Sunday.
That was
me,
by the way.
Neck.
That was a comment.
Wrong side of the field.
If you want to say the guy deserved it, maybe the guy who got hit, Fred, was one of the guys really pelting everybody with snowballs. You know, what goes around comes around. I'm all right.
That I'm okay.
I'm all right with that.
But you made it sound like
as a pro athlete,
placed a piece of snow on the edge, and he tossed it, and it was big.
I guess so.
You told me all you needed to say with your wife sitting there, how you were.
Because you know what I thought he was going to say? I would tell my wife. You're at a football game. You've got to be prepared for these things to happen.
Joe in Merrimack is on the phone. Is it Joe or Joel?
I think it's Joel.
Joel. That's good. Good,
that's
Jason.
An annoying noise.
What's going on?
Ooh, that one right down the old spine.
All right. We're on top of the board
like electric
here.
Shock
I'm in the middle of an email anyway. Ethan says, down to business. We need your help, Fred. I turn to you in this dark time. We as red, white, and blue-blooded Patriots fans are going to have to root for the Jets. Excuse me while I go vomit at the thought. Fred, you are the only man who can come up with a way to root for the Jets while still hating them. Just rooting for them to win so we can go to the playoffs is not enough. It still leaves a sour taste in the mouth. The best I can come up with is rooting for them to win and Baltimore to lose just so we can then beat them in the playoffs. Anyway, good win on Sunday, though I'm not sure it proved much. Clearly Arizona had no interest in actually playing, but Matt looked good again and his stock continues to rise. The Dolphins win was a downer, but what can we expect from Herm and the Chiefs? As I said to a buddy of mine, it was like hoping for the Special Olympics team to pull one out for us. On to Buffalo and see how the chips fall.
That's not right.
I don't know how much more you could ask for from the Chiefs.
But here's one way to look at this Jets thing, you know, rooting for the Jets. Think of it this way. If you're a Jets fan, if the Patriots win, okay, and the Jets end up winning, think of how sour it will be the fact that you won that game and it allowed your arch enemy, the Patriots, to go into the playoffs. So think of how bad it'll be for them, too. Maybe that'll get you through the night.
Just focus on getting into the postseason because anything can happen. Fred thinks they can still win the Super Bowl with ease, going right through Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee, the three best defenses in football right along the way.
Jason says that Joel is back on the line. Joel, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Sorry about that.
What happened there?
The mom of my cell and good old Verizon dropped me again.
I thought Verizon was good.
Well, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not.
I hear you. Cell phones, they suck.
Yeah, unfortunately. So how you guys doing?
Good.
Excellent.
Carl, I was listening to the little argument a minute ago about Paul was arguing that if Brady's there now, we can win the Super Bowl, but with Castle, we can't.
That's how I feel, yeah.
Paul, I'm shocked, man. My beef is not with Brady or Castle. My beef is with the defense.
I agree that the reason you won't win the Super Bowl is because of the defense. I agree. My point is Brady would overcome it like he did last year.
But he didn't overcome it.
He did for 18 games.
Well, yeah, but he didn't overcome it for the big one.
I know what you're doing. But that's my point is just that I've seen Brady play against Pittsburgh and defenses like Tennessee's, and I've seen him put 41 on the board. I haven't seen Matt Castle do that against those defenses.
No, you're right.
Listen, don't take this as a knock at Matt Castle. I just said that he, to me, is the MVP of the team. I am thoroughly impressed with Castle. I am one of the few in this region that was not wanting to cut him in the summer, and I have Andy to back me up on that, Andy and Fred.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
so,
put it this way.
I mean, don't take that as a shot at Castle.
If we have the 2003/2004 defense,
then I would think we'd be good enough to win the Super Bowl. Yes,
with Castle at the helm. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think if we had a killer defense, I think Castle's good enough.
So that's I don't want it. I guess I probably didn't really explain it properly, but you just hit it perfectly.
Yeah.
With the rest of that team, everybody said back in September, this team is good enough to do A, B, and C, even with Castle. Well, the only reason why it's good enough to make the playoffs, even with Castle, is because of Castle.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
What if he had the 2007 Randy Moss? Oof. He'd be a hell of a lot better.
What's happened to Randy lately?
No idea. I don't know if it's the law of averages and it's just he had a great year. So
Is it a mental thing? Is he like hurt or something?
Well, we've kind of did some research
on this.
I think
it's a little mental in the cold weather.
The cold weather, we went back. He's hardly ever had great games or even very good games November, December. But these problems started almost from week one. He was not going after the football, was not making plays like the playmaker he's supposed to be. Now it's reached the point where it hits him in the hands and he doesn't even catch it.
Castle dropped that one in his hands. It was beautiful. Yeah. And he's like, I mean,
he could easily have, what, 4 or 5 more touchdowns?
Oh,
legitimately?
Yeah.
Imagine Castle's number if Jabbar Gaffney had caught that ball and Moss had caught all the balls thrown at him.
I mean, yeah, he'd be approaching 4,000 yards. He'd have a handful more touchdowns. This offense would look much better.
I think Moss spent a couple of weeks really feeling sorry for himself. And that kind of got him in a bad frame
of mind.
Certainly
did yesterday. I mean, Sunday.
Do you know what I'm saying? But I think that without Brady, when he was watching Castle develop, and, you know, let's face it, there was weeks that it didn't look great with Matt. And we all wondered how long it would take. But we said, got to ride the roller coaster. Well, suddenly there was a point, and I don't know if it was, it was the second half of the Denver game, where it was all of a sudden, we're not riding the roller coaster anymore. From that point, it's been up. And I think it took Moss a while to say, this guy's putting the ball where
I
can catch it.
What's the excuse now?
I think once you start
past
on bad habits,
prime.
You know, sometimes those are hard to break. And, yes, I do think there's some mental aspect to the cold weather.
Because he's had a terrible 11-touchdown season.
He has.
It's funny to say because that's a good year.
Terrible 1,000-yard.
You know what he's having? He's having a T.O. year.
Right.
Yes, that's all. God, that was the
He's leading the league in drops while still, you know, catching 11, 12 touchdowns and 1,200 yards.
But having said
that, he's not running his mouth like T.O.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
No, he doesn't do that. He just pouts.
And I think that, you know, overall, you have to say he has been a team player. I mean, you look at the way he's downfield blocking. He's still into the game.
Yes.
He has. You're absolutely right about that, Fred.
You know,
He's not dogging it.
He sulks. Sulking is the right word.
You can see it.
He pouts. He gets his head down. It's a visual. You can visually see what he's feeling in his head.
I'd love to have a relationship with him so I could, I mean, like, just to talk to him.
What is he doing? Is he doing the LT thing?
What do you mean by that?
Well, Danny's sitting there by himself pouting.
I thought you meant Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, but not even just that. I mean, like,
maybe a little bit.
On the field, you can see him just deflate. And he drops it. He stands up and says, I dropped it.
I really think
it kills him. It hurts him to know that he's not a playmaker.
Joe, right. I even think, and I said this at the time, that first play of the second half where they threw the quick screen to him and he went 76 yards, I think that was a direct result of, I think that he went into halftime. He was all pissy. And I just looked, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. They acquiesced and they threw a pass to him right away.
They need him as a successful part of the offense.
I have nothing to base that on other than my eyes because I didn't. Yeah. No one said that. No one's going to say
that. It was kind of weird.
But I mean, he had such a bad first half.
Yeah.
And he was pouting. You could see the shoulders were drooped. Andy made the comment at the end of the half, they kicked a field goal, and they almost got called for too many men on the field because it took them so long to walk off the field.
That's right.
Everybody else was long off.
It looked like somebody on the sideline said, let's go.
Well, they did because they would have got a penalty. Yeah, right. And I actually missed it. Mike Reese had it in his little five things to watch or five things we saw. He never returned to the huddle on one play. They called a pass play, and he didn't run a route. He ran a route, didn't go to the huddle, just stayed out there. They ran a pass play to the other side of the field. He was not a part of the huddle, not a part of anything else. Never made it back.
Well, something was going on then.
He was sulky. He wasn't in a good frame of mind.
But why? I mean, it's not
he
like
dropped
he,
it.
Well, that's not...
He cannot accept that he's not good.
Yeah.
That's what happened in Oakland on a...
That's not a reason to sulk. I mean...
But it is for him. Did you see what happened in Oakland when he was not good regularly?
Good as he's been.
Right.
No, but he was mad at his team in Oakland.
No, it's...
Yeah, definitely.
What he wants to be doing is catching the ball, scoring touchdowns, and winning games. Right now, he might be winning, but he's not catching the ball and scoring touchdowns like he wants to.
Hey, I got a quick question, guys. From the press box, could any of you see they hit the guy put on Junior?
No, I missed it.
I didn't see it at all.
So what was it? Some guy just jumped out of the fans and wanted to, like, hug him or something?
Yeah,
knock him down?
Jumped on his back, and Junior said he thought it was a teammate and then found out it was just a guy.
And evidently, security was on him rather quickly.
Yeah. I saw the picture. Somebody slapped him in the face with a snowball as they were pulling him out of the stadium.
He deserves it. You get whatever. You deserve whatever you get.
When you leave the stands as a fan, you deserve any.
You jump into the Lions' cage, the Lions should eat you.
Oh man. Anyways, I'll let you guys go. You guys have great holidays. Okay.
You too.
You too.
Talk to you. Bye.
All right. PJ writes in, fellas. I just want to reiterate what Fred has been saying all year, especially for the past 2 weeks. Brett Favre, we love you. Go, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Eric Mangini, we forgive you for that little misunderstanding last year. We also support Brett Favre's Pro Bowl nomination and are rooting you on to show the haters that think you shouldn't be there how good you are this year. Really, though, Fred, this is quite an ironic twist to have to be rooting for the Jets right now. Look at the bright side, though. If the Jets win, we are in. Assuming we beat Buffalo, of course, and if the Jets lose, they are out. So either way, we can smile just a little bit. Do you guys feel the same way that I do, that the Jets game being moved to 4 o'clock hurts the Pats a little bit? The Jets will already know that the Pats won. The only good news is that the Jags can still get the Jets in, and they play the Ravens at 4 as well, so the Jets will have to play hard anyway.
I think they'll play hard.
Yeah,
I just really don't see that as being relevant at all, and I know I'm in the vast minority. I just think that... That team right now is in a free fall, and they need to win.
Yeah.
They need to do something to stop it and give themselves a chance. I don't think they care. I mean, obviously they care about the Patriots because that's how they can win the division, but I think they play hard either way.
P.S., I never congratulated Paul in his Hall of Fame honor. I mean this sincerely, as most of or all of your listeners, including me, will never know what it's like to be in any type of Hall of Fame.
But you could be in the PFW in Progress Listener Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Which we are going to F it this offseason.
Andre Tippett said, any Hall of Fame that you're in says something about you.
Well, I appreciate that those kind words.
Let's see.
Thank God it's not a night game. Could you imagine the nightmare for that? That's the only that's the best thing that came out of the Jets' loss from our perspective was that, because that was going to be the night game. Because if you know, they have it set up, so now it's Broncos, Chargers, winner take all.
Right.
Well, that's a winner take all with the winner being 8, you know, possibly being 8-8. This would have been a winner take all 11-5. They would have gone with that.
Although they've developed a nice little side story, Philip Rivers and Cutler and feuding and piss and match, and he's all, you know how hothead he is. And
I did see, you know how NBC puts the release out and like they have Chris Collinsworth, Ed Hockley's the happiest guy.
Yeah.
I totally disagree. Ed Hockley's not off the hook. And let me tell you something. If San Diego wins, Ed Hockley's not off the hook.
Right.
Because don't tell me that they would have only been 8-8 had that call not been made. And you can't even tell me they would have only been 9-7.
I agree. Butterfly that changed, effect, you never know.
That changed the complexion of their season, losing two games the way they did the first 2 weeks like that with the last play of the game.
A weak-minded team that is already
looking
wanting
for
to go that way.
That you can't.
That's poppycock.
You can't just ignore that call.
I got poppycock in front of me. I've never seen it before.
Who's on the phone?
Poppycock.
Oh, Ken in Florida's on the phone. Ken, how you doing?
How you doing, Fred?
Good.
Hey, guys. What's going on
today?
What's
up, Ken? Do you like poppycock, do you?
Well, you know, it's a good word. It's not as good as cock, sure, but it'll do.
Well done, it'll Ken. Do. Well done. What do you got for us?
I try. Not much, actually. I just got out of the hall, and I'm upstairs wandering around the pro shop doing a little Christmas shopping.
Oh, good.
It's a nice place, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. I can't say enough good things about it. So,
how'd you like the hall?
You're just lucky it was open.
It's great. Yeah, well, actually, I tried to email last week to find out the schedule for it because I didn't want to make sure there wasn't some kind of big week thing going on with the crash or something that closed down. But,
yeah, they make it up as they go along.
But as far as museums go, I mean, I've been to a lot of them, and that's without a doubt the most interactive place I've ever been to.
Well, that's Fred Kirsch production. You can thank Fred for that.
I was one of a team that helped do it.
On the days that it's closed, that mean like Brian had to take Ella to like band practice or something?
Pretty much.
So I have a cold, actually. I wanted to bring you guys lunch today, but that kind of didn't work out. So I dropped off. My sister had made peanut butter fudge. I don't know if you got it.
I thought you said you dropped off your sister.
Made her available.
I could do that, too. Okay. I don't know how that would work out.
Is she hot?
It's his sister.
My sister, Andy.
Wow.
There are no boundaries with him. You have to understand that, Ken.
I should know that by now.
Hey, if you look around, can you see Ken Flanders anywhere?
I talked to Ken Flanders, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
They don't have those sweatpants.
Oh, they don't?
No, they don't make them.
They don't make
them? Those are special order for the coaches.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what he said.
Okay.
Well,
I can't validate the accuracy of that statement.
Okay, Mike from Sharon, if you heard that, there are no sweatpants.
That's too bad. They're on my Christmas list.
Yeah, what are you going to buy today? What are you getting?
Well, I want to get like one of the old school logo hats.
Yeah, those are nice.
Pete Brock always wears one of those.
Those are pretty sharp. And I figure I'll also take a look. It's tough to get Pat's gear out of Florida.
Yep.
So have to come up here to do it, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't buy a Maroney jersey.
Hey, I can give you some.
They are on sale, but
I can give you some inside information that's not really all that valuable, but you might find it interesting.
Go ahead, Paul.
In terms of the throwback, you know, next year is the anniversary for the
Rojo.
For the AFL, and the eight teams are obviously all going to wear their throwbacks. Patriots are going to wear them twice.
Right.
And it will be in week 3 and week 6, and it will be against the Jets and against Buffalo. I don't know which one will be at home and which one will be away.
Nice.
Week 3 and week 6 will be the 2 weeks that all the teams play.
Very good.
Eight AFL teams will play each other in those 2 weeks.
Cool. Okay. All right.
Week 3, week 6. Hey, I got a question for you, though.
Yes.
I heard you guys talking about the scheduling thing, and I was talking to my my old college roommate, Andy Vogt, who you guys probably know from the press room.
Yep, Metro West.
He was all concerned about the scheduling. But I'm in agreement with Paul here that I don't think that the Jets can afford to kind of take it off. They got
to
play.
Right.
Well, they have to play because Baltimore is playing at the same – forget it. You know, let's just say that they would be a team that would tank it to keep the Patriots
out.
They
still have a chance.
They still have a chance to get in at 4 because Baltimore's playing at 4.
Right.
And they won't
know what Baltimore – you know, has done until their game's over. So they still have a chance to play even to get in, even if the Patriots win at 1.
Right. So even if you thought they might tank, they will have a chance, regardless of what the Patriots do at 1. The Jets will still have hope with a win.
Right. All right. Well, hey, have a great Christmas, guys. And,
okay.
You too.
I'll be sure to download and listen like always.
Okay.
All right, Ken in Florida in the Patriots Pro Shop.
Hey, I have another question, scheduling-wise. Ken,
half our schedule is out now, huh? We got Tampa. Jets and Bills.
Week 8 is Tampa in London.
We're on our way there.
Ken just brought up the scheduling in terms of this week, but looking ahead to next week, and if the Patriots are
one
in the playoffs, obviously they play next week. Do they do that thing every year with the night game in wild card weekend? One year it's the AFC team is the prime time on Saturday, then the next year it's the NFC, and then the division round is the opposite. Is that how they do it?
I thought there was a rotation.
I believe that's how
they
rotate it. And if that is the case, and our listeners usually are up on this stuff, that's why I wanted to throw it out there. Strippers will probably have the info for us. I think Jacksonville and Pittsburgh played last year on the wild card Saturday prime time game.
They did.
If that's accurate, then I think that it'll be an NFC game this year on wild card weekend on the Saturday, which would take us out of contention
for a night game
on the Saturday.
Nice.
And I also think there's a real possibility, if that's the case, if an NFC game is the night game, that we might actually get the early game on Saturday.
Oh.
If San Diego wins, they got to have San Diego at the late game on Sunday, right?
Right.
I mean, I suppose they could have them the late game on Saturday, too, but...
Right.
I think there might be a chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
All right. Speaking of lunch.
Because you don't want an East Coast game
Right.
Well, I don't know. I suppose it's 50-50, but it's out of the prime time slot anyway.
Speaking of lunch, Ken said he was going to buy us lunch, but he's not feeling too well. Scott from Atlanta actually did buy us lunch from Papa Gino's today. So thank you, Scott.
An excellent spread, Scott.
Well done, Scott.
He has an email that I'll read right now.
Okay.
Dan got me late last night about how you guys need a lunch, and I'm all out of good questions, a direct result of you guys really doing a great job of covering the team and keeping us the most informed fans in the NFL.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
And I'm sure that you are going to be covered up with playoff scenarios and questions about Seymour, so I'd love to hear each of you share a holiday-related Patriots story from this year or years past. Secondly, Fred, last week I asked about Bill's press conferences getting put on iTunes. They have never been on there. His post-game presses are there. His conference calls are there, but not the video press conferences that he does at Gillette during the week and that are accessible on the Patriots.com website. Any help in getting these added would be wonderful. Also, thanks to Jason for organizing lunch. All the best to each one of you and your families. Look forward to buying you guys more lunches in 09.
As do we.
Yes, excellent.
Now, Christopher, I know he's listening. I thought he put up all those as podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised, Chris.
And a bit disappointed.
Maybe that's why he's just one of the best.
No,
is it a video issue or something?
No, I think they're up there. Oh, maybe it's because of video. I'm not sure. But we have video podcasts up there.
And even then, he could just put the audio up if the video was the issue.
I don't know. Maybe Chris can email us during the show, and if Scott's listening today or tonight on the podcast, we'll have an answer from Chris. But I'm pretty sure anything like that, we just automatically make into a podcast. I don't know why there would be an exception for the weekly press conferences.
Maybe he forgot.
Well, he's saying consistently he can't find them. Maybe they're categorized in a different way. I don't know. There's got to be an answer there.
Chris screwed up.
Paul's favorite emailer, William Berry, writes
in. Wait, you were supposed to tell a holiday story.
Oh, related around the Patriots. I know there's got to be a trip story. Wasn't there any trips that we took around the holiday time that kind of was
We weird always or? Have trips around the holiday time. I mean, the season.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Why is everybody looking at me?
I don't have one. You have a memory. I don't. It didn't happen last week.
Have
I ain't
got one.
A holiday
trip story? I must have been zoning out. That's what we're trying to come up with, a holiday
he
trip
asked
story?
He had no questions because we do such a great job covering the team.
I heard that.
You apparently listened to that part.
I did.
And then he said, so what I'll ask is, do you have any great holiday stories revolving around covering the team and the Patriots and all that?
No.
No?
Nothing? Back when they used to have Christmas parties where the players were there, wasn't there something where you got to play video games with the players or something?
There was.
You didn't play?
No. I know it might sound strange to you, but when you know you see the players every day, I don't really gravitate to them.
Come on, if Rodney Harrison was playing video games and said, "Paul, you want to play?" You'd say, "Okay, Rodney, hot Rod."
Well, that would be different.
I'll be the Chargers and you be the Pats. Well,
that would be different.
What about that time on the away trip? It was around Christmas. You went up to Bledsoe with a gift and he turned it down.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah,
that was tough.
I
remember
the gift
was
your mouth.
That's worse than anything you've ever said on the show.
One of the good traditions.
Life has no gender. Tom Curran once told me.
One of the things that happened. When we go to to the plane from Gillette Stadium for a road trip, we have to sit in the bus for a long time because we have to wait for the players to go through screening and security. So we end up sitting on the bus for like an hour and a half before we even leave Gillette Stadium.
Long enough that we watch a movie on the bus.
Right.
Every
and
week.
So a few years ago.
Provided by Mark Capello.
Mark Capello from WBCN always brings in the movie. And one year he brings in The Godfather. And somebody walked on the bus and goes, "The Godfather." And he goes, "It's Christmas." So ever since then, The Godfather has been our Christmas movie. So.
And we watched that the last road trip when we went to Seattle, because that was the last charter we took to Seattle.
Speaking of the Godfather,
is that our fudge from
Marge?
Ken's sister?
Oh,
speaking of the Godfather of North Providence,
how you doing, Freddie?
Eric Scalavino is here.
Very well done, Fred.
And he has some fudge.
Well done. Yeah, Andy looks like he wants to pack it.
He's packing.
See, Andy wants to pack it. You want to
pack
some of this to go home here?
Eric, I see that. You got it in before he could get it. I get it. Yeah. No, but seriously, you
got
have
it
a,
in before
you
he could
fudge.
Get it in.
Have a,
yeah, what do you mean by that, Fred?
You have some fudge with a bow tie on it.
That's right. It's peanut butter, I think.
Peanut butter fudge bow tie. This is from Ken from Florida.
This is from Ken from Florida.
And his
How
sister.
Did I know that?
Did you see his sister?
I didn't see anybody. Right. I got the call from.
Caitlin,
the receptionist.
Oh, is that the one I ignored?
Probably.
Operator one something something something. I ain't answering that.
So it's a handwritten note here. It says Fred, Andy, Paul, Eric, misspelled. Just a little something to
spelled
say thank
correctly.
You.
The Prince of Pomposity strikes again.
Now, if he had like forgot the E in Fred, I don't think I would have stopped and said you misspelled my name.
Heard.
Just a little something to say thank you for all the entertainment and information you guys give us fans. Merry Christmas, Ken Campbell, a.k.a. Ken in Florida, a.k.a. New England Expatriate. Guy has more nicknames than Lawrence Maroon.
Right.
P.S.
Hopefully he doesn't suck
more yards,
that.
Too.
Yeah. He's got a postscript. Andy, hope this makes your fantasy football season a little less painful.
I sucked.
Did you?
Sucked.
Was he in your league?
Yes.
Roll tape on that one.
Oh, yes. Mark Tate. Mark Tate.
So, Eric.
Eric, you missed me earlier. I said something about, I don't care how hard and big it was. I was talking about the ice thing that Sean Ellis.
Did you
hear
Sean Ellis? Yeah, I did. I heard about that.
Fred's okay.
Fred thought it was no big deal.
He describes it as he took it and kind of placed it up in the stands.
Kind of just placed it.
He was retaliating, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, they were pelting the team with.
But that doesn't make it okay.
He
has security.
He finally relented. We pounded him down.
So, who's going to be the first to try these?
Andy will.
I'll taste your fudge.
That guy will eat
it. Not mine. It's given to me.
But first, Erica, how was practice today? Yeah, I know they were in the bowl, right?
Yes, they were.
Fudge in the bowl?
Yeah. They were. It's not even sunny.
No, it's not even funny.
It's not actually as cold as it has been the last few days.
Okay.
Sun is out, so the field is sort of the ice is melting around the field.
Peanut buttery.
But four guys missing.
Oh.
From practice.
Teddy Bruschi.
Yes.
James Sanders.
Yes.
Ty Warren.
Gary Guyton.
No, Ty Warren was there. Richard Seymour, who left with the back injury.
Oh, he's missing.
He was missing.
There was a subtle line. That Karen, I think, had in the Boston Herald in the game post-game coverage on Monday that I think, according to someone close to him or something, he was in significant pain.
Oh, really?
After the game, yeah.
But the Globe reported that it was
questionable for this week.
And that he escaped major. It was, well, I forgot the phrase. According to a source, it was nothing major. Or not a big deal, or something along those lines.
But it came close to being
a big deal?
Is that what you were saying?
If it's a back,
Globe said it wasn't serious.
Yeah, see, if it's a back injury,
but
I don't know how that can be
source.
Made.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
You know, and we understand he probably is not going to be in traction and need surgery or anything, but if it's a back injury, it's probably a spasm of some sort, and I'm not sure how that you can make that determination that it's not serious.
Well, serious for him, certainly. He wasn't there today. Bubba Ventrone was the fourth.
Where's he?
Player. Yeah, that's a good question. He wasn't in the locker room. You didn't see him at all, Paul, did you?
I generally don't notice whether he's there or not.
No
offense,
but he's,
Bubba.
He's one of those guys that was up close
and personal with Kevin O'Connell, so I don't know. I didn't see Bubba.
Trolling the bottom of the roster, are you?
Bubba's one of those guys who was sort of a regular during locker room period. He might not talk every day, but you always see him in there. And he wasn't around. Six black shirts. A lot of them. Kelly Washington, Larry Izzo, Dan Connolly, Billy Yates, Sam Aiken, and practice squad linebacker Darryl Robertson.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
His other brother, Darryl.
Shells. They've been in shells. I might as well not even say it because they've been in shells for the past 2 months. But
all right.
That's all.
Yeah, I don't think that'll change.
Are you sure you know what a shell is?
Yes.
Okay. Except for that one day when you said uppers and that's it. Now that I think about it 5 minutes later.
I was having a bad day.
You have a lot of those.
How are those, by the way?
Very good fudge.
That's good.
Is it?
It's peanut.
Have some.
Okay. Ken from Florida's fudge is good.
It's his sister's fudge, I would like to say.
Now, his sister was here, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. The way he phrased it sounded like he was dropping her off for us. And I asked if she was hot, and he said, "It's my sister."
Yeah, like, so he came down and visited?
No, he was in the hall, calling from the hall.
He called from the hall.
Oh, bit okay. sick.
He got the call from the hall. And yep. He didn't want to get us sick. And
it's been a good show, Eric. You've missed a good show.
Well, you know,
that's usually
some of us
how
have
it works.
To work, Paul.
That's a good point.
William Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, writes in, "Can you say J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets? Is it like how a witch can only say the Lord's Prayer backwards? Fred can only say S-T-E-J, Stedge, Stedge, Stedge."
And you don't like his emails. That's a good email.
That was a good one.
I laughed. That was funny.
Witches have to say the Lord's Prayer backwards?
By the way, I needed to plug tomorrow. We're going to read Dan Heffron's annual
Christmas poem.
We're packing classic. Fudge. We're plugging. I mean, what the hell's going on over here?
He sent it in. We're going to read it tomorrow.
Poppycock.
Sawyer from Waterloo has an.
What do you got there?
Poppycock.
Who gave that
that's
to you?
Good,
you want my
way.
Poppycock?
Freddie brought that down.
No, that's from
Poppycock.
Oh, that's from Dvorkin. I'm sorry. Oh, thanks, Dvorkin. That's very good, by the way.
That's good. I like your poppycock.
Is that the poppycock? Is it's like caramel corn with walnuts stuck to it.
Called it puppy cut and stuck to it.
You know, so often the stuff has peanuts or nuts in it.
Trying to make it dirty?
He was, but he couldn't figure out a good way.
Without just saying something overtly dirty?
Yeah, Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa says, it's time for my second annual Christmas poem, Two Gender Sucks, Merry Christmas.
So that's... I think Two Gender has just made himself very obviously replaceable. I mean, the doctor's... done a great job
someone's
today.
At the door.
Poppycock, lunch, the whole thing.
Hi, this is Christina Acker from Patriots Today.
Jackpot.
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's word of the day. I can't believe you're actually playing this music.
I'm not sure Christina's going to be all that comfortable being linked to today's word of the day. Snowball.
Uh-oh.
That's snowball. And it's a pretty widely known one based on it's been in a couple movies, including Clerks. Eric, you don't know what snowball is?
I don't either.
Is it like a pearl necklace?
Two-gender. No. Did you grow up in a bubble? Did you know what this meant before?
Fred, I didn't know.
Do you now?
Nope. Just pass the thing
around.
Let me see.
Stunned. I thought this was a pretty common term.
Maybe in Dartmouth. But
it was in Clerks, a major movie.
Can you believe that the one thing that he gets and no one else does, he gets all indignant about
Eric
it?
Eric goes, wow. I'm stunned by that.
Maki in Ireland says, great win Sunday. Castle just seems to be getting better and better, though the cards didn't show up, as you guys correctly predicted. No idea how plausible this scenario is, but am I being over cynical and thinking that if the Pats beat Buffalo at 1 o'clock, the Jets will not bother compete? A lot of people thinking that. I'm not going to go on, but we've already.
Have they not read the scenarios?
Right. They still have something to play for because the Ravens are also playing at 4.
I even take it a step further. Even if they didn't have anything to play for, I don't think that they would roll over.
Maki says, "Happy holidays to all of you," and Eric Skull Avino.
Skull. Now it's going all.
Yeah, that's incorrect. Ska.
Ska. Like a ska.
Scalavino.
Scalavino.
It's musical, Fred. Italian is the most beautiful language in the world.
It's a very nice, you know. It flows off the tongue. It's a romance language.
Exactly right.
It kind of fits in with the snowball.
It is a romance language.
Flows off the tongue.
Your tongue.
Not my tongue.
Anthony from Naples is on the phone. Anthony!
Anthony.
What's going on there, guys?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, Andy?
I have a bone to pick with Andy.
Uh-oh. Oh, Andy's got a bone for you to pick, too.
Hey. See now. Wow, look at Eric with
there?
The... Yeah, Eric's here.
Oh, wow. How convenient of you to show up.
It's a rarity. Some of us have to work, Anthony, unlike, you and the rest of the crew.
Oh,
he works. He owns his own business.
Now he's killing all our listeners.
I didn't see any...
He lashes out. He's like, he's just blindly in a corner, just starts wailing.
Where's the Grey Goose this year, Anthony?
Where's the Grey Goose? No, you don't like Kettle One?
We already got our stuff.
That was from Anthony?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Oh, nice.
That
you don't
from.
Even know where the gifts are coming from now.
Well, they don't all have names attached to them.
Do you want a Kettle One?
Do you have them?
I have a bottle of Kettle One.
I'll try it. Yeah.
Okay, I'll bring it in and give
so
it
So thanks, Anthony.
Anthony, do you mind if I do that? Because, I don't want to offend you in any way.
No, you don't offend me.
Because he gave it to me.
I just realize that you're very picky and don't like any of the gifts that I send you.
No, it's not. No, Anthony.
You kind of cringe your nose to it.
No.
Isn't that something?
Do I need to send Bud Light?
Miller Light. It's because I can't.
Miller Light. I'm sorry. The other crappy beer.
Listen, Anthony. It's not because I can't drink. I don't have it. You know Fred's word that begins with a P? That's me when it comes to drinking.
What about guests?
Really?
I can't drink any liquor.
Never offer a guest to drink it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have everything in my house.
You could use it.
But I have others. I have Absolute in my house, too. I mean, how many different bottles of vodka do I have?
Wow.
Are you ugly, Paul, if you start drinking liquor?
No, I just can't drink it.
No, he's loud, Paul.
I can't drink it. I don't like the taste, and I do get sick.
He forgets the words to science.
Science!
But is Andy there?
Yes, I'm here. What do you want?
Singing songs that are playing is obviously a telltale sign that you're drunk.
I don't like where this is going. What do you got for me?
Well, you guys didn't really elaborate on it last week too much, but you kind of brought the argument up if the Patriots wouldn't pay for Asante Samuel, why would they go out and spend the money on, God forgive me if I butcher his name.
Nnamdi Asamoah.
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 Ask for everyone.
Eric, you have the proper correction.
That's his new name.
Yeah, Eric always, he studies those pronunciation guides.
Yes.
Crying to sleep.
My argument on that is I don't think either which way that the Patriots value that position, so I don't think it's even an argument to bring up. But if I was a GM of another team, I would spend the money on him versus Samuel because I feel like he's a true shutdown corner.
Oof.
Sitting at 6'2", 210 pounds, versus Asante was 5'10", he's 180.
First of all, I'm not sure Asamoah is a true shutdown corner. I have my doubts about how good he is. I think he's a good corner. He might not be great.
Who's considered better than he is for two reasons. One, his name. Two, the team he plays
with. Right. But my bottom line was you had a guy that you knew was a key playmaker for you, proven over multiple seasons that he would make plays for you, make big plays, interceptions, turn them into points. If you weren't willing to pay for that, what you knew was an all-pro in your system, why would you take a chance that the guy you're going to give this money to is not as good, doesn't fit in your system, is overrated, the tape is lying to you, all that?
Well, because maybe they're going to, in the branch situation,
you could have made that argument too. They should have kept the guy they knew was going to do it for them. And Moss had some questions coming in here, so maybe.
But the difference is they got the other two guys cheap. Relatively cheap. I mean, they guaranteed Welker $9 million, and they guaranteed Moss virtually nothing.
I thought it was 18,
but it wasn't guaranteed. The total deal is $18 million.
Oh, I thought he Deion was. I thought he was guaranteed 18.
That was
in the first one.
No, that was the first one. That, okay. Remember, there was a whole.
But still, I mean, your point is still taken. It was cheap.
It was cheap, and I just don't think that they're going to go the same route and just totally admit a mistake and now go out and hand $45 million, $50 million to Asamoah.
And I also can't imagine that they think there's that much of a difference between those two plays. Even if you're right, Anthony, and they think that Asamoah is that much better, is better than Samuel, I can't imagine that they think there's that much of a difference.
No, but I don't think you heard the beginning of my argument. I said, let's take the Patriots aside, because I truly believe that they wouldn't spend the money either which way on a shutdown corner. I don't think they value the position.
I kind of agree with that.
Well, I think that was the point Andy was making last week.
Yeah, to me, my impression of the thought last week was that between the two, you'd rather have Samuel, obviously for the Patriots system, but he wasn't worth the money. I still don't think he's worth the money.
I think
he's succeeding right now in Philadelphia, obviously because they have a great defensive backfield and they apply some pressure, so it allows him to make some plays.
I don't know.
We should be sitting here crying that we lost Asante.
Well, at what point is Asante Samuel just going to be one of those players who's good?
Right.
And it's not Belichick. It's not a system. It's not the pressure. It's just because he's a pretty good player. Now, is he Mel Blunt? Is he Ty Law in his prime? No.
Right.
But he's a pretty good player. Wouldn't you say that, Fred?
Who?
Asante?
Yeah. I mean, I wish we had him.
I mean, they all players.
I feel a lot better about my whole thing that we went on with Castle if they still had him.
Right.
All players benefit from the guys around him.
Pass last week.
He did. He dropped a potential pick, but he is going to the Pro Bowl again, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, the system cornerback going back to the Pro Bowl.
What do you mean? He's going to the Pro Bowl.
I don't pay attention.
Which, by the way, he's not a fan favorite because nobody on the planet knows his name.
First of all, everybody
thinks he's Chris Samuels, a tackle for the Vikings.
I'm not obsessed by ex-Patriots.
Okay. So my guess is, or Redskins, my guess is he got some player and coach votes. He's in a new league in the first year. He goes right to the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
He said something nice about Samuel. You can't ask him to say two things.
What's that, Anthony?
I think he's pretty popular, too. I don't think you're giving him enough credit.
I don't think a lot of fans know who he is.
He never talks. He's not a guy that's on ESPN all the time. I don't think fans outside of New England really know who he is. Patriots fans, obviously.
A lot of Philadelphia fans know who he is.
Well, but you got to win more than that to win
cities. That's, you know, if you want to get fan votes. Look, Gostkowski wasn't even in the top five among fan votes.
Asamoah is more popular fan-wise than Samuel because of his name. Because, he's that guy that plays for the Raiders. Yeah, bad team, but
he's really good.
He's really good.
That team stinks, but he's really, really good. And I think he is pretty good. But I don't think he's as good as everybody says he was. Certainly wasn't against us.
Yeah,
with three penalties in that game.
Yeah. Right.
Now, he has the size. I'll give him that. And that's what everybody looks for.
I think he's a good player.
He's typical. You know how you get a group of girls, there's like four girls, and there's one who's kind
of
okay.
Good looking.
But the others are so doggone ugly that it makes that one look pretty good.
That's what Andy calls me when I'm on the Big Show with Butch Stearns.
Yeah. So it makes Asamoah look a little better than he might be.
Gotta say, Butch, I did say that.
Using that argument, Fred, don't you think he's probably... It's probably taken him a lot to even succeed in that system since it's so crappy.
Well, first of all, how successful has he been? Because he had one very productive year.
One year that he had eight interceptions.
And then people just stopped throwing to him.
And the rest of his career he doesn't have eight interceptions combined.
No. So he had one playmaking year, and that's it.
Right.
Okay. Now, I will say there's an element that teams don't throw it.
That's what I was just going to say.
Well, yes, I do think that.
Yes.
I agree with
but,
you.
I don't watch him play every week, so I don't know exactly
I got to be honest with
doing.
You. I'm being unfair with Asamoah a little bit because I'm judging it on the game I watched him play, which is really the only game I've seen him play. And he was average at best in that
and
game.
And conversely, we're judging it by having watched Samuel play for 5 years.
Yeah, that's why I said it's unfair. It's unfair.
Now, let me ask you, is he capable of switching sides, or do they keep him on one side?
They keep him on one side, but I would imagine he could.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He does do it occasionally. He does do it occasionally, so I would say there's no... Nothing keeping him from playing either side.
Look, if they can get him, great.
I think he's better than what we've got. I think they should be going after
obviously.
Him.
Well, I mean, let's be honest.
But I think that Bill should also look at it and say, you know what? I don't value that position, and I can have my values and everything, but a weak secondary has put me in this position where I need someone else to lose in week 17 to make the playoffs.
Let's hope the market isn't crazy this year, and it might not be. Because
it always is for quarterbacks.
Well, the
stuff.
Looming,
I mean, it,
you know,
in
stuff
all seriousness,
going on
is that is that not the number one reason why you need someone else to lose in Week 17 to make the playoffs? The secondary,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
You could say injuries and all this other stuff, but if secondary. The secondary was playing even remotely well, they wouldn't have lost five games.
That's especially right. the San Diego game is the most egregious of those.
Yeah, that crappy team Fred is embarrassed is going to – they killed you.
Well, that's the one thing, Patriots fans, and I bet you –
I wasn't embarrassed.
No.
No, weren't you – no. You were just saying, like, it's embarrassing.
It irritates you that an 8-8 team
is
going
to go in.
No, I said for Dallas, it's embarrassing. Oh. I didn't say anything embarrassing about San Diego. I said it might be the single biggest in-season turnaround of all time.
But you also said that it's embarrassing that San Diego, Dallas, and Minnesota can win a game and make the playoffs.
I never.
Was that an email?
That
might have been
I never
email.
Said
okay.
that.
Came out of your mouth.
Because I don't even know what Minnesota's status is.
It might have been an email. It might have been an email.
Yeah,
okay.
It was an emailer. I didn't say that. No, I think it's.
But I do think it's somewhat embarrassing. You know, we talked about the playoff system itself. I don't think they should add teams. I think six is the number.
No.
But I do think that they should tinker, and I know that you guys disagree with this too, but we don't have to get into it. But I think this best six record should make the playoffs, not the four division winners. And then that eliminates Denver and San Diego.
Yeah, but then you have to really start thinking about the whole division setup, because if it is simply just the best six things, then you can't have teams within a division playing each other twice, because then it because it affects.
They do it in every other sport.
Because if you're in a weak division, you have a big advantage.
Right,
because it's just based on record, you know. You get an
he's
automatic.
Saying, he's saying you get an automatic
four
six
wins or whatever.
You get
okay.
an automatic
so
six wins.
How is San Diego going to the playoffs if they go?
Well,
they're benefiting from a
but
weak
only
division.
One team gets it. I mean, you could be in a.
It won't.
I don't
happen.
Even want to get
it. It doesn't happen
I
mean, in the other sports.
It's okay the way it
I
is.
I know it won't happen. I know it won't.
No, no, no. I'm saying Fred's scenario won't really happen because it works in other sports. I mean, you can come up with these cockamamie what if in 100, one in every 100 years, X, Y,
and Peter
Z
King will write 1,500 words on it tomorrow.
But it doesn't happen.
It's useless.
I take the same approach I took when everybody said, could they have the AFC and NFC title game on the same day at Giant Stadium? It's not going to happen, so stop worrying about it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any inequity to it. I think it's fair for everybody. But I think I would rather see the best six teams record-wise.
The fact that they talked about that this past offseason. I think it's on people's minds. So
yeah, but no
I,
one wants to
dead.
Do it. I'm alone on that.
And
one.
I'm
no
all for not changing things. I hate change.
No, but, you know, instant replay was at one point an idea that got tossed around and wasn't.
Yeah,
you know,
Model T
right
was
away.
An idea once.
I'm not a
that
huge fan
off.
Of instant replay either.
How about my little theory, Fred? Anthony, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm
Anthony's
still
always
listening.
Here, man.
Sorry, go ahead.
Anthony's the greatest.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the system. That's why you have the two wild card spots.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you have three great teams from one division, as the NFC proved last year and the AFC proved last year, the other two teams go in as a wild card. So be it. You don't have home field advantage. You know what? Playoffs, anything can happen.
Yeah, that can work either way, too, because that can do your thing, too, Fred, with the weak division. You know, the AFC East could be benefiting from that. Because
right.
it is, let's face it, that's not a great division. It's benefiting from the schedule. It's the same division that had 4-12, 1-15, and 8-8 last year.
They just happened to have matched up with other worse divisions out west.
Right.
Right. All right, Anthony.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Anthony from Naples, Florida. Now, Chris Ferrara. Well, go ahead. Yeah?
No.
He jumped at Eric.
He said, wait, and you looked at me.
What about my little theory? It was half joking, but some way that you have, like, the two worst teams, both conferences end up as some sort of bring them all to. You know how I joked that the. Winner of the NFC West and the AFC West should play because they both suck.
Play-ins.
Yeah, play-ins.
Yeah.
And I'm not even – maybe that's just like the round of wild cards. The wild cards can be both conferences. And so it's the worst teams play the first weekend, and then everybody who earned it through division winners is around the next weekend.
Well, yeah, I mean you could have eight
that's kind of like that whole 12 – just seeding them 1 to 12
right.
and going into
well,
it.
Well, you could have it. So
I like
if you
that.
Win your division, you're automatically in. So you get four
the four
buys.
Division right. winners all get buys.
Yeah.
Because I think that drastically – lessens the advantage of the bye, which I am all for.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, Paul, run with it.
But I think you need to expand a little bit before you do that.
Expand what?
The team. 32. Now you're talking about
I don't think
16.
In this economic
no.
landscape we're
now
expanding.
You're talking about 16 out of 32 teams
half
in
the
playoffs.
League is already watered down as it
so
is.
So you want
I don't know what I want.
You want
I hadn't looked into the details and Paul's like asking me questions on my plan.
You want 5 to play 8 and 7 to play 6. And then the winners would play
yeah.
But, the same way they play now. So you're adding a full week.
Well, what if we just do
to the playoffs?
3 and 4 in the. I mean,
5 and 6 in the AFC and the NFC play. Wild card teams. You didn't win your division. You don't get to bye. But you have to play, and you could end up playing.
So 5 and 6 play, then you end up with
don't
5 teams.
Know.
What?
All right, and
5 and 6 play, and you end up with 5 teams. So what do you do?
So we're adding 2 games. So now we have 18 regular season games and an extra game of playoffs. We'll be playing into March.
You guys are adding 2 regular season games?
I'm not doing that.
They're not going to. First of all, they're not going to do any of this stuff in the playoffs. We're just kind of saying.
We're just throwing ideas out there.
Yeah, we're playing.
Why you got to yell at me?
Anyway.
But they might add the 2 games to the regular season. That's legit.
There was a question about the in-week press conferences for Bill Belichick not being available on iTunes.
And we got a convoluted answer from Chris Pereira here.
We have a very good answer.
Let me guess,
by Chris.
Do it.
I forgot.
No, the Belichick presser videos are not archived as podcasts because you told me, that's me, not to make them available that way because occasionally there is something that coach says that requires an edit or to be pulled down altogether. We wouldn't have control to pull it down if there was something that was felt to be questionable. It's not a big deal to make these available. I would have to encode an additional MP4 file in addition to the Flash version. Currently, only Patriots Today are available on MP4 podcast. So let's do it. And what we'll do, though, Chris, is we'll wait, like, till the end of the day or the next morning, and then we'll make it available just in case PR tells us. Not me that pulls them down.
Right. So when he takes a shot at
certain Ferreira sucks, Merry
things,
Christmas.
League geniuses and stuff, we can reel those
why,
in.
Why is it not done?
Because you told me not to. And that's the time when Chris chose to listen, by the way.
Ferreira
unlike
sucks,
that other
Merry
day
Christmas.
When, actually, when this whole scenario was playing out. And
Tim Fox, a day late and a dollar short. What a surprise.
Showing old Buccaneers Patriots.
He was the most overrated.
Tim Fox.
He was the most overrated.
But you hate him now.
Ever. Oh, absolutely. Oh,
okay. Like, every time I bring up, Tim Fox was on New England Cable News.
I hate him.
Because
he sucks.
There's
nothing, guy knows nothing.
There's nothing like the passion that you have when you're a kid and you watch a team. And when he was on great teams that never won anything, that was when I was like 8, 9, 10. And it was like my whole life was ruined for a year when they lost. There's nothing like the way you. Would you agree with that, Fred?
Absolutely.
When you're a kid, and that's all. I mean,
that's why he still loves Crazy Legs Hirsch.
There's nothing like that passion that you have
with
when
Hirsch?
You're a kid.
Part of it, you know, he had that instant
and
connection.
Crazy Legs,
and he cost them more games in the biggest spots.
So he's the reason that all those teams that we say were great never did anything.
I wouldn't say he's the reason.
you just kind of said he cost them more games.
He's my scapegoat. I wouldn't know if anybody else agrees with that. I'll tell you another huge reason that won't be wildly popular.
Steve Grogan?
Threw more interceptions in the biggest games than you could believe.
Paul Perillo hates Tim Fox.
Including
and Steve
six
Grogan.
In one game at San Francisco late in the 1980s.
But Fred, he's like you. Grogan will walk in. Hey, Steve.
Well, I love
this is a great guy.
Because that's the beauty of me. I love Grogan.
Hey, lawyer.
I didn't like
him. I hate Lawyer Malloy. He left a family
I didn't
ass,
like Tim
blah,
Fox.
Blah, blah.
Now, I wouldn't be saying, hey, Tim, if he walked in the door. I loved Grogan, even though he drove me crazy. There's a difference there.
Let's see. Andrew in the Ukraine writes in, for the sake of full disclosure, I was one of those who thought the season was dead in the water when Castle took over at the 729 mark in week one. I was still skeptical until the 400-yard games. I have now come to the opposite stance. A part of me feels that we as Patriots fans should brace ourselves for a Matt Castle immediate future. I am not saying I like him better than Brady, but I think the haul Brady could bring in the terms of draft picks in this year's draft might make it worth the deal, not to mention the fact that they wouldn't have to play with the salary cap. Without fantasizing Herschel Walker trade deals, what is the minimum you guys would be happy with? I think I would be happy with 2 first-round picks and the second round from Detroit. I know it's only 3 picks, but this year looks to be very exceptional. Yes, Eric, I know that's redundant in the areas that the Pats need. So he says trade Brady for draft picks and sign Castle.
For 2 first-round picks and a second?
Yeah.
Nope.
No, I don't think so.
No, thanks.
Boy, how quickly
so you get a
forget.
First-rounder from Detroit this year and next year, and then a first and a second this year? Because they don't have 2 firsts, do they?
No. No, thanks.
I don't think I would.
What I'd be doing is saying Detroit. I just franchised Castle. A 1 gets him. Now I got Detroit's first-round pick, and they have their quarterback.
And I have the quarterback I want.
Right. That's what people aren't. If you go the franchise route, you're getting something for Castle.
Exactly.
Now, that's what I'm a fan of.
Let me give you another
so
one.
So you're comparing a trade for Castle. It's not just. So it's now down to sort of you get an extra pick for Brady.
Yeah. He said that, you know, without fantasizing about the Herschel Walker trade, well, that's the only trade I would make.
Right.
Is if I was absolutely raping somebody, to use Fred's parlance. If I was getting 3 firsts, 2 seconds, and 3 thirds, you know, something silly, but No one's going to do that.
Right.
Would you be afraid to let Castle, I mean, if you franchise them and trade them, would it be open to anybody, or would you say not in the division?
Anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah, anybody.
It'd be open to
biggest,
anybody.
Highest bidder.
Yeah. Yep. Whoever gave me the best package.
That's right.
To be honest with you?
Can I ask, I think a lot of people have ridden the roller coaster with him a little bit with Castle, and the 400-yard games were like, wow, he's good. And then you have the snow game Sunday, 350. His first 300-yard game?
Oh, in the 300s,
yeah.
I think, yeah.
You know, he usually skips right over the threes and just shoots right for the fours.
And if Moss had shown up, he might have.
That's true. They have a three-game winning streak, but is the offense great now and to the point where they're carrying the defense, or have they played bad teams? And
I think if they matched up against a team like Baltimore or like Pittsburgh with a good front seven, it could negate the short passing running game that they have developed right now, and they'd have to prove that they can go downfield. I think you can still have an answer against this Patriots offense if you have a good front seven.
But I'm not even – I mean, I think those
close.
Are the best defenses
it's
in
a
football.
Combination.
I'm just talking about like
– Well, you're meeting
– or
Tennessee.
Like
Andy, just so
Carolina, like a good team that's a playoff caliber – Even go back.
I hear what you're saying. I think their
offense has established itself.
I mean, they've played two layups
right.
in the last 2 weeks. I mean, they just
throw those two out.
But I think that if
they
can
score. Then you came down to the wire against Seattle. You know, like,
I think they can score on who, on pretty much anybody.
But I do think they're overcoming. They're overcoming the defense. I think, right. And I'm not positive. I did a real quick look and very unofficial. I think they're like third in the league in points.
Probably.
Points four.
Probably.
So.
And they're putting up a lot of points.
I think
yeah.
they can score, period. Now, I know that some of that is the last 2 weeks, 49 and 47 against two bad teams.
And we remember they've had a bad schedule a lot of the
They
year.
Have had a bad schedule.
I just want
48 against
whatever
Miami.
You think to
that
be,
was their best game. Yeah. I think the best game of the year was at Miami.
Of the 12 playoff teams, and they might be one of them, like just pick a middle of the road one, like whoever you think the sixth best team is or the fifth best team. Maybe it's Indy again. Are they now a different team in a matchup with that team, whatever team you pencil in as a
Yeah, I think that they score a lot of points against Indy.
I do, too. Okay.
Let's see.
I kind of agree with that, because I also think, I mean, I know you got into a fight with Felger about the Steelers and Patriots and the matchup.
Felger thinks the Steelers stink.
Right, which is stupid.
So it was kind of a silly fight.
But
even Fred doesn't think Pittsburgh
they
stinks.
They moved the ball some in the first half in that game. They had a couple.
They had
180
yards in the first half.
They had a short field, which is 360.
Yeah.
I mean, if you double it out, and against the best defense in football,
that's pretty good.
It's a pretty good day.
Yeah, that would be their highest output they've
so
allowed all year.
I think
they disintegrated in the third quarter there. But
the whole that just got way out of hand quickly. But I think there's a pretty decent sampling now, and we've said this for a while. The offense is pretty good.
Yeah,
even without Randy Moss,
I think they would
plays.
Put up points against pretty much anybody.
So that's how
now,
I feel.
Don't, now, by points, do you put up enough to win against anybody?
Well, that gets back to the whole question. I don't think so, because
I don't think they put up enough to win against Baltimore, Pittsburgh, or Tennessee.
Defense still stinks.
It does.
I want to touch on one thing. Mario from San Benito writes in, recently I've been reading rumors of how other teams like the Chiefs might be looking to lure Scott Pioli toward them. How much of an impact would the absence of Pioli have on the Pats? Also on the Fox pregame show this past Sunday, Howie Long said something about how teams should be looking to attain the trifecta of Pioli, Josh McDaniels, and Matt Castle. How probable would it be that a team like the Lions or Raiders would look for that situation, and how effective do you think it could be? So the rumors about Scott Pioli, you know, I was on BCN and they threw something out there that somebody was reporting that he could
Mortensen.
Be making himself available. I don't know what that means, because I could walk out here and find $1 million. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if Pioli said he could be making.
I'm making myself available to the rest of the league, Jeff.
Right. Yeah, so am I. I'm available, too. But
so no one wants me, but I'm available.
But what do you think about that? You know,
I think the trifecta is a great theory. Now, do I think it'll play out? I doubt it. But I think if you're bringing those, they're three guys that love each other or work comfortably with each other, are proven. I think the dynamic between McDaniels and Castle is tremendous. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. And then Pioli knows McDaniels. So I think that's now whether Pioli can do the job, it gets back to whether you believe Bill Belichick is truly the final say and football eyes of this operation are Bill Belichick's and his only. I don't know the answer to that, but in terms of just working together as a collective unit, I think it makes a lot of sense.
And I think that the most likely place where that could happen would be Detroit, just given that they're
I agree.
If they, especially if they go 0-16, the sentiment is going to be just clean house, get everybody out of there. Why not bring in a whole new crew?
And you don't have to risk the quarterback. I mean, you can go after whatever your other B, C, and D needs are, and you don't risk the quarterback.
It wouldn't happen in Oakland because that's not going to happen there. But I do think Detroit makes a lot of sense. You have a dynamic wide receiver already there. Now you have a quarterback that you know can play at this level, and you have high draft picks in every round to go out and find some talent that you. I mean, obviously you need to find.
In my mind, you could probably sell Josh McDaniels on taking a cheap contract.
Oh yeah,
because you got a GM he trusts and works with who you probably just handed $4 million a year, bottom, you know, something ridiculous like that, and you got a quarterback that he's comfortable working.
And you have to figure Josh is going to try to run his team the way Bill has, the way Eric is doing in New York, and the way Romeo does. Whether they can do it or not is a different story. But they're going to try to do it the same way. So wouldn't it make sense to have a guy like Scott procuring the talent? He knows what you're trying to do. He knows the kind of guys. He knows the 1-53 model that you're trying to copy and the special teams aspect.
Yeah, in theory,
you
remove headaches that could come down the road with some other GM in place.
I just hope that the Ford family isn't using their bailout money to try to fix the Lions.
I'm sure they will be.
They're going to need a little bit more than that.
Yeah, that's the other thing you said earlier. The salary cap free agent landscape, in my mind, I doubt very much will be affected by the economy.
No, not the economy. I was talking about the impending labor.
Negotiations.
I think that for the economy, I think you have a bigger chance of seeing an impact in terms of coaches with years left on their contract.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I don't. You know, Ralph Wilson thing. Well, I don't think teams are going to be willing to eat
dead
years
money
on contracts.
Yeah.
I think that you're going to
Marvin
more
Lewis.
To,
yeah,
well, plus you might have you so sign a guy this year.
No, they're going to keep them, so they don't
keep
have
the
to
bad
pay
coaches.
Guys.
Yeah. You have to pay if you fire a guy. You have to pay him.
No. Yeah, I realize.
So that's a couple million a year you're paying while you're also hiring a new coach.
Unless you're Al Davis, and then you just go to court.
Well,
and,
he'll still have to pay him. He's just going to have to pay legal fees and pay.
Yeah,
right.
John Rook's here. John's got a show at 2 o'clock as he always does. Patriots Playbook. What's up?
You guys tell me. You tell me.
Yeah.
I'm ready to root for the Jets.
Is your stomach sick over that?
No. You're ready.
Mine is.
I have convinced myself I'm going to be the biggest Jets fan I can possibly be.
Yeah, but I hate the Jets. I have a hard time.
Well, everybody hates the Jets usually around here. But you know what? I have no problems rooting for them this week.
I hate Miami, too.
Well,
so that helps.
Right now, I hate Miami more. How's
that helps.
Sound?
The only one out of this whole group.
I hate this holiday season.
I don't hate Buffalo.
No,
they're irrelevant.
We love Buffalo.
No, I don't hate Buffalo. Well, I mean, more than having to beat up on them some
more.
2 weeks
ago, I was pretty pissed at them when they blew that game against the Jets.
You were.
Well, yeah.
Oh, Fred was pouting big time.
Pulled
in the press
his best
box.
Randy Moss that day.
Was that the one where he almost put your fist through the wall?
Well, that's many times.
That's whenever anybody comes near Wes Welker
one of
God
these
forbid
days
lays a finger on him.
One of these days.
Are they not calling flags today? Not throwing flags?
You're going to hit poor Stacey James on the other side of the wall there. Be careful.
I don't know.
Yeah, he'll be like Chris Cooley in that NFL commercial. Reach through and grab Stacey by the neck.
You know how, like, when you're in the press box and something out of the ordinary happens and everybody turns around like, oh, my God. That's going to happen someday because I'm going to put my fist through that wall.
Look out. Come down.
Here it comes.
The whole first row of irrelevance.
Would you do that in another press box?
What?
Would you do that in another press box or just here at Gillette?
No, just here. I would never do that.
You wouldn't do that on the road?
No, never.
You wouldn't pull a Bill Polian?
Here, which is
I hope they break his leaping legs.
Oh, Fred does that. He just does it a little more quietly.
Yeah, I don't let anyone hear me.
In Fred's defense, it's a little bit more discreet than that. But he does root for injuries.
Really?
Yeah.
Root for injuries?
No, he does.
That's Paul's thing. He thinks that.
Are you telling me that you don't root for injuries?
I don't root for injuries. Well, I don't want to see anyone
get hurt.
May God
strike you dead.
Except Eric Mangini.
Put it on there.
Anyone on your show today?
No.
This is it.
Well, actually, Russell Baxter will join us.
Oh, Russell Baxter. Yeah. Does he work for the company now? I mean,
just about.
Yeah. Okay.
Russell is a very, very good friend, as you probably figured out by now. We hit it off several years ago when I first started working at ESPN, and he's like, anytime you want to talk football, anytime, because he knew I worked for the Patriots.
Boy, did he make a mistake.
Boy, did he make a
call every week.
Well, he
now.
Did, but you know what, though? We used to use him on air when I was doing the old Game Day show on ESPN Radio, the one that was only listened to out like in Washington State and Oregon. And he was a regular, but he was just a absolute unbelievable resource. And everybody was thinking, we got to figure out ways to use this guy more. And it got to the point where then everybody at the radio network started using Russell to the point where he had to say, time out, guys. I can't do this anymore.
Right.
It's getting away from my real job, which is to, feed, Boomer and Mort and all these other guys, all the numbers
Boomer?
And stats.
That's a tough job.
Yeah, I know.
Double fisted.
It's like feeding a lion.
So were you throwing snowballs out of the PA booth?
No, but no, but listen.
That's another Patriots snowball.
Listen. I wasn't going to say a thing.
Not today.
The plan was not to say a thing. And then, you know, I saw how things were kind of progressing after all of the myriad scores that we had in the first half, right? And so I do get the phone call from Stacy at, was it late second quarter?
I got the call.
Yeah, I think it was late second quarter. He goes, I need you to make an announcement about not throwing snowballs. And I said, Stacy, my window's open. You realize that I'm the first target.
Right.
Right. Well, so I heard him. Just, you want to just pass down the sign that says, here, hit me?
Well, he's
the bullseye sign. Exactly.
Phone. We can hear him.
We heard him say, should we make an announcement?
Should we make the announcement about snowballs?
Well, then it actually died down. After a game got to halftime, we all figured the game was over, and so the snow stuff died down. And so I was kind of hoping it would slide away. He calls me again early in the third quarter, and he says, we still need to make that announcement. He says it's a liability issue. We've had some complaints. Because people, you know how they have the text thing now?
Yeah.
Or do you have a report a problem in your area?
People
were texting. Yeah. Somebody threw a snowball at me. And I'm like, well, then why the hell did you come to the game? But, you know, hey.
Now, why do you have the window open?
That's why I don't
go. Just close the window?
Dude, my window's always open for
football.
Yeah, but why? Are you kidding me?
I really like
because
it.
It's like
the
guy
in Oakland,
man.
I like it.
As a longtime football broadcaster, I've always had, because it's just the way you feel the stadium and the game.
Like that guy in Oakland.
Yeah.
I don't do the studio, you know, environment with, you know.
No, you need to get into it.
You know, and my, we're working here.
Yeah.
Okay. You're rolling up the stage and working. I've always had the windows open.
So you have the ability
I've had
to close
in 16
it.
Years.
John would be one of those guys standing up in front of me, Fred, that would make me stay home.
Probably. In 16 years, I've had the windows closed in the booth once.
Tennessee playoffs.
No.
Oh.
It was open that night.
The snow globe game? Against the
no,
Raiders?
Actually, it was I've never had it closed.
The Jets
here at Gillette.
Jets
it was at,
home
it
game.
Was at Foxborough Stadium, and
the
we
rain
had to close
was coming
because
in?
The rain was coming in.
Jets game.
I believe it was the Jets game '93.
It was an electrical issue.
Yeah, it was
an
electrical issue.
Rain.
Because I do remember it was very early when I first started, so it may have been the first year then that I was doing the game.
That was the worst rain I've ever seen.
It was terrible. It was raining sideways, and it was an electrical issue because we had all the television, the stuff that we have at KSP down the hallway.
Right.
That was all in that one little bitty room.
I know. Eddie Mack, that was Eddie Mack's room. He had his lunch in there and everything. I could just see him getting electrocuted in there.
Everything was in that one room. So if we had any kind of disaster, the whole stadium went kaput. And we probably all would go kaput with it.
Yes.
So we had to close the windows that night. And they were the old, you know, pull them down over your head window.
Right. You need five guys hanging on top of each other.
I'm proud to say the windows have never been closed for a game that I've done.
John, what was your announcement? Was it like a Sam White, you don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati?
No, I basically just said, ladies and gentlemen, for the safety of all fans, we politely request something to the effect of...
You ad-libbed it?
Yeah, I had to ad-lib
it.
Well, they don't give me scripts. I have to ad-lib everything.
Well, I assumed there was like a binder in case of, and you... Right. Snow.
I like the time when Phil Sims got hit by a snowball in the old Foxborough Stadium.
But naturally, when I said what I did, I said, we've asked, I said it's a liability issue, some blah, blah, blah complaints, a safety issue. And, of course, everybody just boos unmercifully, right?
Right.
Okay, 10 seconds later, the phone rings, the bat phone, which, you know, that's Stacy from upstairs. Okay, I pick up the phone, PA, and he's going, boo!
you didn't get hit by a snowball.
I did not get hit by the snowball. Everybody was actually pretty good about it, but you should have seen the people that were right out in front of me. They all turned around and started laughing. And I'm holding my hands out like this, you know, my peeps. Right. And I'm talking to my peeps.
My peeps.
All right. Well, John Rook's show commences right after this.